Production. Recorded live.
The number you have dialed is...
Big Buster Cool. On Cool Shoe. Join the discussion by dialing 724-447-444. Call ID 90227.
Hey, what's going on? It is Chris here, and it's Monday, September the 29th, the year 2014. I'm looking into the chat, see who's here. I notice Happy Horse Shit is on board. Happy to have Happy Horseshit. Aberrado just popped in. Good to have you. It's Tim. And John Marine. Oh, I just got a message saying my talk shoe page went down. Let's see. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Talk to you, page is down. Oh, okay. Apparently it's not down. That's good. Well. Oh, yeah, Talk to you's been acting up. Oh, Tim said he didn't get an email from Talk to you. Ah. Yeah, maybe that explains why only 3-4 people are here. Because I sent out a notification an hour ago. And, earlier in the week, I tried to upload the call with me and John. I mean, that was last Monday. The talk sheet was broken. And then it came back up, and I uploaded the call, and then apparently now it's acting up, not sending out emails and not cooperating. But I guess they're having some issues or something, and hopefully they'll get it sorted out. But I could hear people, not literally, but I could sense that if people are saying, yeah, why don't you just read the quote of the day. So I will. Great is truth, but greater still, from a practical point of view, is silence about the truth. By simply not mentioning certain subjects, totalitarian propagandists have influenced opinion much more effectively than they could have by the most eloquent denunciations. And Aldous Huxley said that. Huxley. Aldous the Huckster Huxley is always pimping screwy ideas. Some people say that he was trying to warn us. Nah, he was in the club. Don't let them people fool you. Tim's wanting to know if I can stream live. Can you stream live to your Shoutcast server? I can stream. Yeah, I can stream live to the. Yeah, I guess. I don't know if it's Shoutcast. I guess it's Shoutcast. But I have a way to stream live to my audio server that's running right now on my blog. Yeah. I think it's the same service that you got, Tim. It's Stream Stream wave, something like that. Oh, yeah. So you can't port the TalkShoe audio through your smartphone, huh? Yeah. I do have that, and it works good. But I kind of gave up on that because I was doing different stuff, and I just kind of quit trying to up the quality and all that, so I just kind of let it sit on the back burner till maybe some point in the future when I get an upgraded computer one of these days. So for the time being, what I have started doing is I started recording on my end, which I'm doing right now, and I'm going to upload this to the TalkShoe, well, hopefully, if it lets me, to the TalkShoe site, so that it's going to be better quality audio in the podcast. But I know the streaming audio right now isn't the best. But it does sound better than Blog Talk. Blog Talk Radio sounds, you guys listen to any stuff that's off Blog Talk Radio? It's like, I mean, TalkShoe's much better quality than Blog Talk. And Blog Talk is expensive. I don't know why anybody uses Blog Talk over TalkShoe. Brian's asking if he wants to simulcast. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I'm getting messages through Skype. I'll get too many things going. Bup. I can run you through my shot. Yeah, that's cool. So, Brian, if you want to come on the call, I could add you through Skype. Just let me know either in the chat room or on Skype, and I'll add you to the Skype call. Trying to message people. I'm not a very good multitasker. Sorry. All right. Dang it. Not a very good multitasker. See, I can't even talk and type and text and. Maybe when we get our brain chips, our implantable brain chips, we could keep up with all this machinery. Yeah, I was watching this documentary. I think it's called Building Gods or something like that. But it's about, oh, man, crap. Ugh. Hate when I do that. I launch a program. I'm scrolling around my launch program. Sorry about that. So they're talking about transhumanism and all that pie in the sky, crazy crap that it's. I heard it referred to as the rapture for geeks, which is pretty funny. But it's the idea that you're going to be having your brain uploaded into a computer. Let me give me a break. It's not going to happen, for one thing. It's where was I going with this? I lost my train of thought. See, I'm not a multitasker, but what was I saying? Okay, yeah, when I get the brain chip, I'll be a better multitasker. And so I was talking about transhumanism because Okay. They were talking about just making a building a case for why it would be, you know, why all this new stuff is so cool and why, you know, everybody's just got to get on board and it's going to be so great. And so the guys, so they're showing these motorcycle racers and the dude's like, in the modern day, people aren't equipped to deal with heavy machinery, you know, because we have our skeletons inside of our body. It'd be so much better if we could have our skeletons outside of our body, like an exoskeleton, and you know, that way, and they were showing like motorcycle crashes on these high speed motorcycle tracks and all that, and how it's just gonna be a great thing when we have our skeletons outside of our bodies. It's just gonna be great. But you know, getting a new body, a genetically engineered, not necessarily genetically engineered, all get ported into virtual reality. I mean, people are already doing that right now. With these massive multiplayer online games. And there are people, as we speak, that literally live in virtual worlds. What's the big one? I don't know what the really big ones are now, but Oh man, what's the name of that? World of Warcraft. And so it's some kind of game. Somebody was showing me that one time. This friend of mine, and he had a family and a job and stuff. He wasn't super duper into it, but he did like to go on, and he would go on and play, I guess it was World of Warcraft, and he would have his, like, cousins from another state that would go on and play, and they would, that's kind of cool. And then they would just, you know, he was showing me how it works and everything. And I really don't quite get it. I don't know what the massive appeal is. It's kind of, you go around and you collect stuff, and it can make you, like, have powers, and then you fight, and then you build up your, that's the way I understood it, you build up your character so that they have powers in this virtual world, and then you go around, like, doing kind of, like, this combat with other players, and if you got more juice, so to speak, you're going to beat the other guy, and then, but it's just kind of one of these, it's just like a never-ending kind of quest for whatever you're finding, like a turkey leg or something on the ground, and you pick it up, and it's like so many health points, stuff like that. And then people will spend like their entire life, some people, I don't know how many people are actually doing this, but I guess they are on unemployment or they're on some kind of form of state assistance, or I don't know, maybe they got some kind of inheritance and they don't have to work a regular job, and they just stay on World of Warcraft all day. That was according to this documentary I watched about it. Oh, Brian's going to come on in 60 seconds? All right, cool. So it's 7:16. I'll bring you on at 7:17. Is that an occultic number, 7:17? I'm sure it is. Brian wants to talk about virtual reality. I wonder if Brian's a gamer. I like video games, I admit. I used to play back in the day. I played the PlayStation, and there was a couple of different games, and there was a game called Siphon Filter, whatever that means. I don't know what the hell that means, but I just remember they had part of it. You go on to, you're in these castles and all this other crap, and then you go into these castles and you
part of
like,
it.
Go on to.
Okay.
You're in these castles and all this other crap.
Hello.
And then you go into these castles and
part of it.
Hello. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Brian, you got, yeah. He's going to have to cut off the other stream. It was feeding back or something. So it was, so as soon as I brought Brian on, it was, I was hearing myself in an infinite feedback loop, which is not crazy about the sound of my own voice. So that was like really excruciating. I just had to, and I accidentally hung up the on myself too. Oh, you can hear Brian, but not me. You can hear me now, right? I hope. Da, 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 da. Technical problems. Okay. So, can you hear me okay right now? All right, we try Brian to add Brian again. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun. Bum, bum, bum. Bum, 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 bum. Bum, bum, bum. Ugh. Multitask, multitask. Brain. Tell my brain to multitask. Oh, it did, it did. Is Brian there? Is Brian?
Hello.
Hey, Brian, what's going on?
What's up, Chris?
Are you on the... Yeah, now I can hear you good. I'm not hearing myself feeding back in a hall of mirrors effect. That's cool. That's better. That's good quality, man. I can hear you good. You sound real clear. It's like you're in a soundproof room or something. It's like...
Why am I hearing feedback? I'm hearing...
Are you hearing feedback? Wow. Yeah, I'm not hearing any feedback. I'm hearing
yeah,
you real clear.
I might just have to listen to this show. I'm having too many issues here. I don't want to hold you up.
Yeah, well, I can hear you real good. I don't know. Like, you're hearing feedback, though, right now, huh? I don't have anything going out through my speakers. Pretty sure, no, don't.
Yeah, why don't I, like, get on your show. I'll reboot everything, and I'll call in like 10 minutes.
Yeah, okay. Just
sorry
send me
about
a
that.
Message. That, no, that's all right. Okay. Let's see. Da, 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 da. Yeah. I think it's just a miracle any of this stuff actually works, really. Constantly amazed by it. I mean, and then another thing, too, you couldn't do this kind of stuff not that long ago. It would have been impractical. I've been listening to streaming audio since the 90s. And there used to be that Real Audio. I don't know if everybody remembers that. But, yeah, it worked pretty good, but it was a really low bit rate. And I think you had to have some, if you wanted to take calls and all that, you certainly had to have like a mixer and a 800 number or something. And you had basically a radio setup to do anything like that back in the early days. But like most of that now is in software, which is pretty cool. All right, enough shop talk. So what was I talking about? Transhumanism. So I was going to go somewhere about the subject of transhumanism. And, but, you know, it was just this, I was watching this documentary about it, and it was just like these people are advocating it. And it's just this crazy stuff. I mean, okay, exoskeleton. And they were showing, like, half man, half horse. They say, oh, how we could be able to make people fly. You know, people have wings. They could fly like a bird around. And I really don't know exactly what they were getting at. Like, genetically modifying your body to have wings. I mean, it's just science run amok. Just science for the sake of science. Just crazy bullcrap science, so-called science. I mean, are these people insane? What are they talking about? What would be the point of that?
You can hear me okay now, right?
Yeah, I can hear you good.
Sorry about that, man. That's because we were trying to run the stream over there, the doubling up, and it was making a feedback loop. But I don't know why I couldn't shut it down. I shut everything down, and I still couldn't get the feedback off.
Nah. You get any feedback now? I hear you.
No, I'm using my tablet now. I figured I'll screw with that later. I don't want to hold it to show. But I wanted to touch on that that Call of Duty. You know who you're talking about, the video games? Can we back up for a second? Or is that all right?
No, I think I lost track of what I was saying.
You were talking about kind of like how the games are like, you know, I thought you were kind of getting at an angle how they're kind of like programming a little bit.
Well, I mean, I was talking about, like, you know, virtual worlds and stuff like that, and how there's already people that are practically in a virtual, live their lives in a virtual reality, practically, you know, with these
online. Yeah, the people that sit there and play the online games all the time. And you know how there's the games like the Call of Duty and whatever, and how obviously those, like, get little kids and teenagers to, you know, be desensitized to war and kind of glorify it and shit like that.
Yeah.
But, I just saw an article today that the Pentagon actually hired one of the creators of Call of Duty to, like, give them, like, help them be a military strategic planner or some shit.
Oh, well, yeah.
I swear to God. I was just about to grab the article when we started having technical difficulties. So I had to shut everything down, but I'll drop the link in there in, like, 3 or 4 minutes when it moves back up.
Yeah.
So that's funny, you know? I mean, it's no surprise.
Well, no, it was... stuff was developed by the military.
Yeah.
And video games, there's this book called The Complex, and I was looking at that book, and then it goes into how, like, in the 80s they had the game, it was like tank battles, and I don't know if you, do you remember, how old are you, Brian? Are you like, you're in your 30s, huh? I don't know if you remember.
I'll be 37 in a couple of days.
Okay, so you probably remember some of those old arcade video game consoles, the big ones, and they'd have, like, the different games in them, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so you remember the one with the tanks? It had, like, it was kind of like a grid display with, like, green graphics, but it was, like, one of the first three-dimensional games that came out.
I think it was called Battle Zone or something, but I know.
Yeah, that was it. And you can probably look that up on the internet. Battle Zone. Let's see.
I think so, but that's just that's something I never even played, so I'm really just taking a guess. But I think that's what it was called.
But that was a a military tank simulator. And that was one of the first 3D games that came out. And that was developed by the military. It was just a spinoff of that. And all that technology is military technology. That's where it came from. They had a news story about the game Doom, and that was the first, pretty major popular 3D first-person shooter that came out.
Yeah, definitely. Doom or Wolfenstein, but yeah, Doom was the, more multiplayer, yeah.
Uh-huh. And that was, they showed how that the Marines in Camp Pendleton, I lived out in San Diego, they had a news story on that and how they were using Doom in their training. But that's where this, where all this stuff comes out of. It's what, these developers are commissioned by the military to make war simulators and aircraft simulators and all that kind of stuff to be to
They just, those games sell like 10 million copies and stuff, and they just keep selling them out every year.
Yeah.
They're coming out with a new one of Battlefield and Call of Duty, I think, like next month or this month or something. They come out with them every year. And they actually charge people lots of money now instead of just the price of the game. In order to, like, upgrade your character and stuff, you have to, like, spend real money online in the virtual store. So the game's really going to cost you like $100-something if you want to be able to keep up with everybody and have the good gear and stuff.
What game is this?
Call of Duty, and a lot of games do that now. They're hooked up to the PlayStation Store or the Xbox Store, and like in the newer Call of Duty, like 75% of the gear and stuff you can't even earn in the game. You have to buy cash.
Are you serious?
No, I'm dead serious.
No, I didn't know that shit.
Yeah, they first started making it like it was a cool thing in some games, like a race car game maybe. You can get, unlock all the cards for like $5 of a certain class or something, which is still a ripoff. But you don't even have the option now to unlock these things on your own. Like, you could play that game all day and night, and there's some things you cannot get without spending cash.
Yeah, that's another whole subject is the virtual economy. It's, got to look at children now. They're growing up and they're totally immersed in this stuff, right? And so they're kind of already used to this concept of like being in these games and spending real money. And how much longer until that all those lines and those distinctions are completely broken down to where it just all becomes such an abstraction that I've heard, like, Alan Watt talking about this, is, the goal not too far in the future is to change the concept of money. It's, like, to the point where you no longer have money at all. It's just kind of this concept of credits. And then you'll be allotted a certain amount. And if you don't spend them, you lose them. And that's how it's going to be, where you can't even have a savings or anything like that. That you either spend all your credits at a certain allotted time, or they take them away. So yeah, virtual money. Yeah. I'm hearing like your keyboard or something, Brian?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'll mute myself.
Okay. Yeah, it was really loud. So, who else is here? Wade 57, Jay Rivers, Cole Hobobo. Welcome, everybody. Yeah, I'm talking about just different subjects. We got off talking about transhumanism, virtual realities, and the virtual economy and, well, I mean, it's just a lot of rapid changes that are taking place. And then this is referred to as the century of change. And, well, it's happening. There's definitely all this new stuff appearing, and people have to acclimate to it. There's all this stuff where, you know, there was no real precedence for it, so there's no real frame of reference for it. And, yeah, I mean, children, young people and stuff adapt to this stuff, I think, a lot easier because their brains are sort of plastic and malleable. So you see this stuff being brought in, and these children just take to it like it's just second nature to them. And they just go head first right into it. I mean, we were talking about last time on, I was talking to Marcus and Jim, excuse me, about the, the baby seats, and they got the iPad thing built right into them. I mean, how insane is that? How absolutely out of bounds is that? I mean,
what do they have? A baby seat with an iPad on it?
Yeah, it's like
a bouncy seat thing with a tray?
It's more like a kind of a little bassinet kind of car seat. Let's see. Look one of those up. And, here it is. It is pretty distressing. I mean, it is, you got to see this thing. It's just, well, you got Junior, he's strapped into this little crib thing, and it's got the kind of little attachment that comes off of it. And, here's an ABC News article on it. I'm going to see what this says. If I can ever get back to chat here. Pop that in there. Baby iPad seats. Is it bad parenting or the sign of the times? It's likely that you've seen a child that's too young to speak and complete sentences operate his mom's iPhone better than, his mom. But what about a product that's geared specifically toward babies, like an infant seat that comes with an iPad holder? The newborn-to-toddler activity seat by Fisher-Price is just that. It features, in addition to the iPad holder, Bat-at toys, I don't know what that is, on a removable bar and a mirror that reflects the baby's image when the iPad is removed. But it's that iPad holder feature that's got mom up in arms. Can you mute yourself, Ryan?
I'm sorry, I thought it was muted.
Yeah, mute background. Yeah, thanks, man. Babies should be entertained by looking around and by their family or caretaker, not a screen, said Libby Conover, mom of two girls ages 4 and 3. The American Academy of Pediatrics agrees. They recommend screens be avoided for children under 2. A child's brain develops rapidly during these first years, and young children learn best by interacting with people, not screens, the website added. Oh, really? I added that. The description on the Fisher-Price website reads, soothing, entertaining, and technology, all in one great grow-with-me seat for baby. Lock your iPad device inside the case to protect from dribbles and drool. Though the name of the seat is Newborn to Toddler Activity Seat, the product is found in the baby section of the site. I mean, come on. Janine Chambers' mom to a 2.5-year-old girl said, I can see how it would just be so easy for overtired parents or lazy caregivers to abuse it. Plopping child in a seat and plugging into a video and hypnotizing the baby for hours at a time. But the free apps that come with the seat purchase aren't exactly episodes of SpongeBob SquarePants. The youngest apps include soothing sounds and patterns that Fisher-Price claim help eye tracking skills. Still, it may be a slippery slope. I think parents need to be really careful here, says Richard Besser, ABC News Chief Medical Editor, blah, 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 blah. Child's brain is going through incredible development, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So that's when the baby's brain is forming, like, speech centers of the brain are being developed, shape recognition. I got to add Brian back to the call. All kinds of stuff that's happening in the baby's brain. And you're setting them in front of a two-dimensional screen, virtual plane, which is going to show them probably fast, rapidly changing imagery. And, start them off psychologically, mentally hobbled, hamstrung, because they can't hold their focus for more than a minute. And probably not good. Probably not good. But that's this total immersion that I'm talking about. Like, it's starting out now as, people are already doing this. They're already, like, setting young children loose on this stuff. Like, now even, babies, they got baby apps so they could play with the thing. And I guess, like I said, you got a drool shield you slap on there, and it keeps the baby from shorting it out with the drool and all that. And they just play on the electronic gadgetry, and just total immersion and just familiarity with it from a very young age until the next step of introduction comes in. And this all had to be done at a time when, for the most part, the family is broken down. You got people working two jobs. You got both people in the household that hold down jobs. You got children in the house, and then, they got to be entertained. They can't play with their cousins or anything like that because people don't live anywhere near their brothers and sisters, so there ain't gonna be no cousins to play. There's just gonna be a lot of electronic distractions that kind of fill in all those gaps. Brian put this in the chat. This Washington think tank hires Call of Duty creator to advise Pentagon on future threats to U.S.
So basically, they hired the people that they are. It works in a circle. Basically, they advised off them to create their games, and now the advice is going back the other way around.
it's
kind of ridiculous if you think about it. That the military and what our kids do for entertainment go hand in hand.
Well, it's a
brainwashing,
brilliant on one level.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty evil, too, honestly.
Yeah, it's evil and it's sick.
Every kid out there wants to shoot a grenade launcher at somebody, or a rocket launcher, or a sniper rifle, or, whatever the common gun is on Call of Duty, It's crazy. And they make it so realistic looking that, you know, these people feel like they're really in a war. Plus, you got the headsets and everything, like you were talking about with the online multiplayer. And they just add more and more as the years go on. They held it 16 for a while, but now some of these games are like 32 people, even like 64 on the computer and stuff. And you know, all the headsets, and it's like you're really in a squad. You know what I mean? Like, you got to communicate with each other and go out in patterns and hunt people down and cover each other's back. I don't know. It's pretty crazy, man. Pretty crazy when you think about it.
Yeah, this article is, it's what's called a limited hangout, where you get some information, but they don't tell you the whole story. They don't tell you how...
Oh, no, this is from RT. Of course they don't.
Yeah.
Put it out there. We know we can't trust them as far as we can throw them.
Yeah, I know you know that, but it's like a lot of this stuff that comes out, it's like they give you the impression that, like, oh, this is just sort of just happens, you know, and people buy
it's
that.
It's a big deal now, but this goes on all the time.
Right, yeah. I think that's the main reason for putting this stuff out. It's kind of like,
yeah, I do too.
Oh, look, you know, this stuff is so realistic that, like, even the military is now getting on board. It's like, no, bullshit. They develop this stuff. This is where it comes from.
Even the old ones.
They're not going to tell you that.
This is for, like, okay, so they're saying this is for what we think, brainwashing them to accept war, want to go sign up for the military, the whole thing, you know, desensitize them, whatever, to accept our foreign policy, all these things. Before these Call of Duty games, when they first came out, like back in the old Xbox days, and then before that, when they were on computers, like Call of Duty 1 and Call of Duty 2, you know what they were, right? They were World War II propaganda, so they were reshaping the past for people, for little kids, so they were teaching them history through the video game. You know what I'm saying? Their version of history.
If right,
not
yeah.
Going to be interested in school, they're going to teach them on the video game, whatever, you know, whatever you think the Nazi propaganda is and how far that goes or whatever. That's what they're basically teaching them inside the video game, you know? And as we know, a lot of that's, you know, probably wrong.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's, yeah, and then inside these games, they have these different plot lines and scenarios and stuff like that.
Oh, very, very similar to what goes on in the world, or what you are told goes on by the mainstream media in the world. Very similar.
Yeah, they'll have, like, a scenario in the game. I mean, it's just like predictive programming in movies, like we talk about that. Like how, you know, they have something in a movie, and then they'll play it out, like, in the news. I was going to say real life, but it's not real life. It's just
exactly.
Another...
It's just another
level of deception, you know, but, you know, people are conditioned for it, and then they present it as being something real, and then I think it has an effect of it's giving somebody a frame of reference so they don't go into it with, like, you know, they already have, like, expectations of that, and when it happens, they're already preconditioned to respond a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is going on big time now, I imagine, in these games, because this is like the new Hollywood. This game that they come out,
Hollywood. This is how back in the day, a big movie would come out and people would wait in line outside to go see it. Nobody does that now. No, not teenage kids. You know what I mean? They're out playing paintball or football, or they're playing video games. They're playing Call of Duty. They're on Facebook on their iPad. You know what I mean? They're usually in front of a screen somewhere.
Yeah, and these games have these giant budgets, man. I mean, it's
huge.
There's one this game that came out, Destiny.
Oh yeah, I saw the preview for it. Yeah, that's the number one selling game, I think, in Japan right now or something.
And they said
it's
$500 million to develop this game. $500 million.
A big time movie is like $100 million usually, right? A blockbuster.
Yeah, like $100 million is ridiculously high budget for a movie. But like $500 million, there's never been a movie with that big of a budget, has there? I don't think so.
You got to think they're going to get a lot more back on their money because of the movie.
No, they made the money back in the first day that it was released.
A movie, you're only going to sell the tickets for $10, and then a lot of people are just going to wait and pirate the movie. The video games are a lot hotter to pirate, and people are going to shell out $60 for them. You know what I mean?
That's why you're
going to get a huge return on your investment compared to a movie. Yeah, you're going to get probably tenfold. Sixfold in the price plus the non-pirating issue.
And somebody was saying that, like, next summer, there's so many Hollywood blockbusters coming out that Hollywood is basically set to, like, bankrupt itself. So what's going to happen then? I mean, who was telling me that? I forget.
I don't know about that. I think those would be a lot of shitty movies.
But, yeah, I guess that sucks. Yeah.
Hollywood's too tied into the military complex to shut down. You know what I'm saying? They need to come out.
No, I mean, I don't think it'll actually shut down. I mean, it may be being replaced.
It'll
with
be real
else.
Hurt. Yeah, it'll be like the music industry. It'll take a hit like that.
Well, maybe what will happen is that, so, like, that will be the big news. Like, okay, Hollywood's bankrupt, blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, okay, so lower expectations about what you should expect to see from Hollywood from here on out. And it ushers in this kind of new era of entertainment where, like, these video games now are the big thing, and they start taking just they completely take over the role that Hollywood.
They're smart for doing that. They're staying with the times because I'll tell you, before I got into researching things, like 5 years ago, I was huge into video games. And I really still, even back then, I didn't really give a damn about the TV. I had a TV show here or there that I watched, like South Park or something. But besides that and a couple of sports games, I really wouldn't watch my TV. I would just play video games. And now I don't really do that much anymore. I did get an Xbox this year, and I play a little bit here and there. But, I used to sit there for hours like these other people. And that's just what people do now. It's just, it's more entertaining and it's more personal than watching TV because you can get on there with all your friends. You can all put the headsets on. You can all, stay up till late hours because you don't have to be at each other's houses anymore. So you don't have to worry about driving home. So you can play till you're about ready to pass out. And, people that are brainwashed, even guys my age that play those games, not me, but I know guys my age that'll play those games, get all fired up, and then they'll really shout out some real ridiculous stuff, like, let's go kill some Muslims. I mean, I've heard it, I'm telling you. I've heard it. Not all the time, but I've heard it from grown men. This is the stuff they put in our heads.
So there's guys, like, you're in your 30s, and, like, you got friends who play the video games and stuff like that, so it's like...
Yeah, it's fading off. Like, 5-6 years ago, I had a bunch of solid friends that still played, 5, 6, 7 of us. Now there's just like 2 or 3 that play, and just here or there. I didn't play for like 4 or 5 years.
Uh-huh.
I played a soccer game and a basketball game here a little bit, but, here and there. But we used to play a lot, and we used to always play the shooting games, the Tom Clancy games, Ghost Recon, Rainbow Six, and go out and shoot everybody all night. And I can see how a little kid would be totally brainwashed by that. Totally brainwashed. Totally.
No, yeah, I know. I mean, yeah, they had when I was a kid, they had the games, the game consoles. I don't think they really started coming out till I was about teenage age. And but they were just basically kind of blips on a screen.
Yeah, like that was Atari back then, But
yeah.
My turn 21 is about when the online games started taking off with the PlayStation 2 and the Xbox and all the war games and stuff.
My grandma used to say, What are you looking at on there? Just blips on screen, just bleeping back. I don't even know what they're doing on there. What are you doing on there? I can't even tell what's going on. What are you looking at on that? Like, just we'd be sitting there and they'd be bloop, 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 I guess if you don't have any, I could look just totally ridiculous to people if they don't know if they don't have any way to.
I used to love it as a kid because I chose to do that instead of playing TV, instead of watching TV. I thought that was more fun.
Oh, yeah.
Later on, pretty much
you're interacting with something, even though it's just a computer, it's kind of a two-way entertainment media, kind of like the internet now. Now you have to gauge it somewhat,
Well, now I wish I would have put my time into something more useful, you know what I mean? Even just playing with the computer more rather than video games when I was younger, I'd be proficient at a lot more things on the computer right now, and that'd be a lot more useful as I'm older and more mature. I need to do other things, you know?
Yeah, I was talking about that with John earlier, and you know, he's saying how it's. He just said that he just made a statement. No, it's the. We were talking about this stuff, and he was saying, "Oh, it's like the death of hobbies." And I say, "What do you mean?" It's like, well, I mean, people they go into this electronic world escapism. They don't really
have
real hobbies anymore.
Chris,
but
I've seen them. You know how they tell you don't drive and text? I think he's driving their bikes and texting while they're driving their bikes with the phone on the steering wheel. Like, I'm just like, really?
You mean they don't have like little like holders to bolt on your smartphone?
Oh, I'm sure they have them now, but this is the couple kids I've seen doing it. They were driving around, about to drive to the side of the college because they weren't paying attention because they were driving and texting on their bicycles.
Oh, that's ridiculous, kids doing this stuff, and it's
I don't mind kids having like cell phones, even though we didn't when we were kids, because you know, yeah, the parents want to get in touch with them. It makes perfect sense, and there's, of course, there's a downside to it, but I totally believe that there should be time limits on how much kids can be on devices all day long and shit like that, because they got to get outside and do stuff, you know.
I remember riding bicycles like all over the place, man. We'd be like way on the other side of town on bicycles and going driving, like just, you know, everywhere on bicycles and stuff. And
all the time.
Yeah, all day.
From town to town. Yeah.
Yeah, we'd be going like all over the place, man, on bicycles. I don't see kids out riding bicycles like that. I mean, they do, yeah. I see.
I was thinking about the other day. I saw some guy out on the side of the road near my house, and he had a 10-speed, he had a flat tire, and I was just thinking, where is this guy going to bring to get that fixed? The bicycle shop doesn't even exist anymore. Like, how kind of money are they going to be pulling in, you know what I mean? Not that I was fixing a flat tire, but this guy didn't know he was going to do it, and I was just like, man, the bicycle repair shops around here, there used to be a couple. I don't even think they're open anymore. There was one pretty big one. They used to sell lots of freestyle bikes and stuff, so they were bringing in a lot of money, because, you know, those things would be $300, $400, $500, $600. But I don't even know if they're open anymore, because really, who's going to go in there?
Captain Horseshit says kids ride bicycles in Grand Theft Auto online. So you can get on Grand Theft Auto and ride a bicycle?
Instead of riding a real one.
Yeah, I guess it's...
Get on a ride a virtual one.
Not going to get hurt. Plus, you can have the game controller in one hand and your smartphone in the other hand, and that's not really dangerous.
Yeah.
Right.
I guess.
I don't know. Well, no, it's crazy, dude.
Chris?
Hey, Rochelle, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going? I see you guys talking about bicycles. up here in Portland, they ride bikes everywhere. Have you guys ever seen bike turning lanes? You guys have those out there?
No, we're getting some bike lanes.
Oh, bike lanes, we have them all over my city now. They started painting them like 2 or 3 years ago. They're everywhere.
They're building bike trails here, too. They're doing that with all of them.
Yeah, we have bike lanes and trails, but I
think she has a stream on.
Like, you know how a car has a left turning lane? They get into the left middle lane and turn? They have them for bikes out here. And
bike left turn lane.
Yeah, no, they ride down the middle of the road, and then they get into their little left turning lane in the middle of the road. And yeah, it's the bikes out here, like the biking culture. We have tons of bike shops out here, by the way. It's like, it's really good and it's really bad too at the same time. Like, I don't know what you think about Agenda 21. Like, I hate using that word or whatever, but it's definitely a part of whatever the hell that is. They're like really just getting rid of they're trying to get rid of cars. It's pretty obvious, like down the main street.
Oh yeah.
So the biking culture out here, it's huge. Actually, there's people whose jobs who pay them to ride their bikes to work. Like, that's kind of their bonuses. So they give them bikes and then they pay them to bike to work every day. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, Yeah, I think we're having we're having a hard time hearing you. Like you're, I don't know if you can get closer to your. Yeah, you got to get closer to your phone. Talk directly into your phone. Or, it's like you're talking through a like one of those baby monitors or something. Like
really, now, can you hear me now?
Oh yeah, way better.
Oh okay, yeah. Sorry, I was leaning up against my shoulder like a moron. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. There's jobs out here, like companies who pay their workers to ride bikes to work every day. So yeah.
Kinda they get paid to ride their bike to work. What? That's
yeah. Like they're just trying to get people out of the road. They have to give people some kind of incentive, you know. Otherwise, people wouldn't really be doing that because it's so rainy out here. And yeah.
Oh
yeah. It gets really bad. It gets really bad.
Yeah, I could see where people wouldn't want to ride a bike if it's raining a lot. I used to ride my bike to work every day back and forth, and I didn't like riding in the rain. But, I mean, if you're set up to do it, it ain't so bad if you got the clothing and stuff to get. Because you're going to get – the thing is about riding in the rain or hiking in the rain or whatever, it's you're going to get wet. I mean, that's just all there is to it. Like I was hiking the Appalachian Trail. It was it was 2003. And so it rained in the South, like for 21 days straight, like every single day for 21 days was rain. And I found out later that was the rainiest season in like 40 years or something like that. But, yeah, you're going to get wet. So, like, the trick is to keep your core temperature, you know, the same. So you want breathable clothing that's going to retain your body heat so you don't get chilled. But, yeah, you're going to get wet. So, yeah, I don't – because, like, if you're wearing, like the standard rainproof gear and trying to ride a bike, you're just going to be, like – you're just going to be sweating – and hot and miserable and if you're like sealing yourself up in a plastic bag, which is like what a lot of that shit does, trying to keep from getting wet. But yeah, you got to just get wet but stay warm. And yeah, if you're wearing the polypropylene stuff or the breathable wicking stuff, like they have like these outdoor clothing and hiking clothing and undershirts and stuff like that, it's a big difference, I mean, in your comfort level. So it is 8 o'clock, September 29th, 2014. This is Hoaxbusters Call. Got Rochelle from the great state of Oregon on here, and then Brian. If he's still on, I'm pretty sure he is. I didn't hear his call drop.
Did I run you away, Brian?
Yeah, so Agenda 21 is in full force. Brian said he's getting a drink. All right. So that's why all the bikes. So you got new bike trails going in there, Rochelle?
Oh, you know, I wonder if they're complete with all their bike trails out here, but hopefully you can hear me good. We have tons of bike trails out here. I don't know about any new ones, but what we're doing right now is we're getting ready to, not complete, but we're in the middle of making our railway system, like, it's headed south. So I feel like in the near future, like near like 10, 15 years, it's probably going to connect to, like California and stuff. I think that there's something in the works with that called like the Pacific American like railway. I don't know, I'll have to look it up, but I think that they definitely have a plan to connect our railway system, which is like a TriMet light rail system, to like out of state basically. They're encouraging people to, because around the light rail trans system that they're building, they're also building those stores that have the apartments on top. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
like right in the middle. Oh, it's just, it's so bad. It's like right in the middle of town where like the streets are already really bad, and they're just making it worse by putting light rail systems through there. And so basically people are pretty much going to have, it's going to be more convenient for you to like take a light rail system. I mean, people already do. They park and ride and stuff, you know, because it's so ridiculous going downtown or anything. And they shut the streets off downtown, like a certain part of the streets where you can't drive your car downtown like during the weekend and stuff. So they're already like, they're getting people out of their cars. They're making it so convenient to where you don't need a car, and then they're also making it to where you're not going to be able to afford a car.
Right. Yeah, have you seen these cars? I've seen more and more of them now. They're not much bigger than a golf cart.
Yeah, they're so
crazy small. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, they're so ugly, too.
Yeah, they're ridiculous looking, and they're like, I would hate to get in an accident in one of those things.
I was just about to say, they're super safe versus a Jeep or something. I mean, come on, wouldn't you want to be in one of those things?
Yeah, you could probably get ran over by a semi and get lodged up under the fender, and the truck driver wouldn't even know it.
Yeah, they're like little skates that they look like.
Yeah, they're just
and then
really
do you guys
ridiculously
have,
small.
Do you guys have carpooling lanes?
Carpooling lanes? Nah, it's not really big enough city to have all that going on.
Yeah, it's funny because when I see the carpooling lanes, when I happen to drive past one, like there's never any cars in the carpooling lane.
I lived in San Diego, they had them. Yeah, and it was the same thing. You like rarely see anybody in them.
Yeah.
Because think about the ridiculousness of it. It's like,
right.
Yeah, everybody's going to carpool, but everybody has, you know, they pick up their kids after school, and I got to run here, and I got to run to the store. Okay, I got George with me. I gave him a ride to work today, but I got to take him home, and he lives, like, on the, yeah, this part. It's like, that. How would that ever friggin' work?
Do you know what that is?
What's that again?
Zip cars.
Zip,
ZIP. I think it's like almost like a rent-a-bike, rent-a-car thing where they just park it on the side of the road and you just go and rent it. And it's one of those little smart cars, too, with a little two-seater.
Oh, you have those? Yeah, I saw one of those one time. Where I don't remember where it was. I think when I was visiting my brother in Utah. And I was walking the street, and I saw one of those, and it has, like, a credit card swiper thing on the door.
Oh, I'm imagining so then, because, yeah, I didn't know how people actually, like, rented it, like, off the side of the road, but apparently that's the idea. So it's like, you don't need your own car, and then, hey, you don't need a car at all.
Right.
Well,
yeah,
I rental bikes.
Oh, you got rental bikes?
I think we do, too.
They have, like, in certain neighborhoods, you know, the better neighborhoods where all the shopping district is and everything, there's, like, racks with, like, tons of bikes that are, like, from the city of Boston, and you can rent them and use them on the racks or whatever.
Yeah, and they all look the same, so I don't know.
They all look exactly the same.
Okay, this is my bike, bro.
And we have carpool lanes, too, and the traffic is so bad going into Boston that people want to use those carpool lanes that people get caught all the time trying to put, like, dummies in the passenger seat and dressing them up like people, and the cops will pull them over, and they get big-time tickets for it.
That's pretty funny.
Oh, it's real funny.
That's taking, traffic must be really bad to take it to that extreme. But they really mess up. Like, I notice, just speaking about traffic in general, I notice I drive the same route to work every day, and I enter the freeway, like, right at the end of my route, like, step over and get somewhere else real quick, and they just put up, what I've noticed is that they just started putting up this, right before you enter the freeway, they have the lights, make two lanes, and,
You broke up a little there, I couldn't really make out what you said, what did they put up?
Oh, sorry, right before you enter the freeway, like, during rush hour traffic time or whatever, they make you stop before you enter, like, two lights, and you gotta take your turn and stuff like that, so that I don't know, they say that it makes traffic better or whatever, but what I've noticed is that because they've only turned this light on at this freeway entrance here like a couple times, and every single time that they've turned it on, traffic has just been backed up. Like, people cannot, like, get through these two lights, like, smoothly, you know, and apparently that's the idea, but they haven't, like, I've been going the same route for, like, a year now, and it's never been backed up there. Like, that was the perfect entrance, but now they put this light in there, and it's, like, so effed up.
What is it, like, one of those things where you got to wait to turn, and the light doesn't stay green long enough, and then nobody can turn, and everybody gets stuck?
Yeah. Yep, right before you enter the freeway there. It's pretty ridiculous. It seems like, well, obviously, it's pretty obvious that we make traffic smooth ourselves, and, like, just putting in a light or putting in some kind of traffic wall or whatever just really messes crap up, dude.
Yeah.
So,
like,
yeah, because
if you type in bike trails and Agenda 21, like I was looking at now, I did a Google search on it, you get all these you get these different articles. I haven't went through all of them, but, you know, it's like people talking about, you know, there's this Agenda 21 conspiracy, and people point to this stuff that's going on, and they're just crazy, and they're crazy thinking there's a conspiracy, and they're trying to fight this all this legislation, and so basically trying to make you out to be crazy if you point out the fact that there's all these laws going in at the same time, not only in the United States but around the world, all coordinated to go in at the same time. It's like, okay, did the people of Lawton, Oklahoma get together and vote for bike trail? No, nothing like that. It's just like, obviously, something is driving all this. Something is pushing all this coordination,
yeah,
and all this stuff.
There is an agenda, yeah.
Yeah, it's obvious. It's so obvious. But what is the deal with this denial that there's anything going on? I mean, is it that easy to trick people that all you have to do is say it's a conspiracy theory, and then people
we're attached to wackiness and kookiness. It's just a big umbrella. If they throw anything under that goes against the official narrative, and we know what the conspiracy theory usually is, the biggest one, it's usually the so-called official story that the media is pushing.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
It's a derogatory term that just makes people not want to look at it. It's clever. Again, they're clever with what they do, and that's what that does. You just label anything a conspiracy theory that's really a conspiracy, and people forget that conspiracies really exist. All a conspiracy is two people conspiring to commit a crime or something or do something, you know? I mean, it's pretty ridiculous the way people look at it.
Or it's like they don't talk about it in the major news media. It's like that quote I read earlier from Aldous Huxley that says it's like they could do a lot more by – commit more propaganda by what they don't talk about than what they do talk about. It's like, yeah, there's bike lanes going in like everywhere in all major cities and every city that's there. But yeah, but it's no big deal. There's no conspiracy or any organized plan that's behind this. It's just, I guess it's all coincidence. Like all these cities are doing it at the same time.
It's just a good idea that they all stole from each other.
Yeah. That's right. They're just taking. It's just a trend.
Not floating in the air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they just all get the same. Not only do they get the same good idea at the same time, they also have they all think it's important enough to implement it at the same time, and also have the funds to do it at the same time. Nah, this is all coincidence.
Yep. What are you, wacky?
Yeah.
What do you want to be?
That's my opinion, too.
Oh, yeah, you think that? Yeah. Rochelle's a coincidence theorist.
Well, I mean, that's just a
conspiracy realist.
No, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm done. Go ahead.
Well, I'll say something. I think it's just it's easier for And hopefully you guys can hear me. I keep losing my phone and stuff. But it's just easier for people to accept that things are, I think that it really is easier for people to accept that things are coincidence when they don't have the ability to, like, use their own logic, because, like, that's what a lot of these things require. And it's, like, really basic elementary logic. But, like, if you don't have the ability to think things through for yourself, then nothing, it's not going to make any other sense other than a kind of coincidence. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't have the ability, it seems like, to connect dots, like dots that make up a larger picture, you know? And I think that's just the fault of just kind of being told how things are, like, their entire lives, and accepting that as so, and then repeating it ad nauseum, so.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I try and talk to you, especially older men, you know, it's crazy. It's like they have no hope almost. I work with a couple older gentlemen who are probably in their, I want to say 50s or so, but I know one of them was like a hippie, you know, like they grew up around the same time, but they are just so into the news, and they turn on the news every day at lunch, and they watch it, and they repeat it, and they talk about it, and they believe it, and they argue points. And they have opinions about really ridiculous things that that is just basically obviously something that they've just repeating and like have taken in. It's like they take things that they've heard in as like their own opinions. Like they came up with this by themselves and they're so smart. It's just it's just really weird. Like you can't talk to them at all about anything because they believe everything in the news.
Sounds like my family.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Well, my mother's a little, she's getting better with listening. She still won't believe me, but she will sit there and listen to what I have to say when I, in the rare cases I do get to see her. My father knows.
Yeah,
and because I'm so young also, I think that it's even, and I'm a female too, you know, and so they think that they know everything, and they think that they figure everything out.
You can't possibly know anything, yeah.
Yeah.
And you know,
this chick know, blah, 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 blah.
I understand that perspective, you know what I mean, that time changes a lot of things.
That perspective is bullshit, though, because I know just as many dumb guys, being the dumb people shit about what's going on around them.
Oh, no, definitely, but I'm saying that you know, there's definitely something to that. I mean, I've noticed that in my own life, but it's not like my perspective changed too drastically without knowing, like, the things that I do know now, but, you know, I think just because I'm young and stuff, they don't want to hear anything I say, and they're telling me how
they're
it
always
is,
right.
You know, and it's like, hey, buddy, like, I'm reading into stuff that, like, you don't even care to look at, so, you know, I can do is shake my head and listen to them, you know?
Mm.
I mean, it's my boss.
No, all too well, I know. It's brutal.
Yeah, I wonder if I got the idea to commute to work on my bike, if that was something that was planted in my brain somewhere along the lines, or I thought of it.
I think you just came up with a good idea.
I mean, there is a lot of positives to it. I mean, I'm telling you, it's like addictive. Like, once you start doing it, it's like, man, why didn't I always do this? Because it's, I mean, the exercise, you're outside. It's just a feeling, I don't know. It's I love riding bikes. I mean, I do. But then on the other hand, it's like, did I get
well,
this?
A lot of people that commute is just too far. You know what I mean? It's not practical for everybody to ride their bike to work.
But I'll have to say, I mean, I got a pickup truck, and it's like, man, what would I do with, I mean, I use my pickup truck all the time. I mean, I put shit in it. I have, you know, I haul it around. I mean, I got always have something in the back of it. I use it to you know, up, you know, cleaning out the yard, cleaning limbs, whatever, hauling off to the dump. It's almost like how, I mean, it'd be really difficult to get by without it. I'll just put it that way. And, you know, it'd be like a super big inconvenience to have to live without a vehicle now.
It'd be almost like not having the internet.
Have you ever heard? I've heard people say, "I don't even want a car, and I don't need a car," and like people riding the bus and stuff. And I have a really hard time believing them because I'm like, dude, if somebody gave you a car right now, like you would take that car.
I don't buy that at all. They just don't want to.
You know, it's like, yeah, it's like you have just given up basically on getting the vehicle.
Yeah, but I mean, here's another thing about it. It's like when I was working at your regular corporate slave job and everything, and I lived in a city and I lived in an apartment.
Well, yeah, that's
and,
different. If it's so packed,
yeah.
You're going to spend more money and more time taking your car. But, you know, a regular commute, who wants to take a bus? You know?
Yeah, like now I have a yard and I have, like, projects and shit that I work on, and I'm kind of building up the property around here and stuff like that. So that's why, I need a truck and stuff. But, you know, if I lived in an apartment again and I was just a regular corporate slave job day in and day out, it's like, yeah, it's like why and you could get by without a car. It's like it's just one less expense. You can get around pretty easy on the bus and the cabs, and you got a bicycle, and between those things you got it pretty much covered. And then you know you save a lot of money.
I need to be able to get up and go, you know? I need to be able to get up and go if I have to go.
Yeah,
yeah,
you know,
you just have to plan around it.
You end up going only where they want you to go. I like to go out to the woods and go shooting. You know, I like to go to the river and stuff like that. And also, I think that's how they set it up, as to where it's easier and more convenient for you to not have a car. You know, like, I know people who live downtown, and it was like an extra $120 or something a month to park your car.
Yeah, my car's like that, too. I got to pay the parking meter out here $1 an hour, and I have to move it every 2 hours.
Yeah, and so, and again, about this Agenda 21 stuff, out here, they made a big deal. They built this 112 apartment complex or something like that, like 112 apartments with no parking spaces, no parking lot at all for them. So, you know, there's no parking whatsoever. And it's like, what the hell is going on? Like, they're just
bike racks.
Really,
And now, where is that? Where are you from?
We're in Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
Yeah,
there's a lot of that going on out there as far as big time complex is crammed in like that, huh?
Yeah, isn't Portland like a lot of so-called like hipsters, liberals, progressives and shit?
Yeah,
there?
Oh my gosh! And so that's the guy, and that's one of the and gentlemen that I work with. You know, he's a yuppie now, basically. Yeah, he's like a liberal. Like, oh, it's really bad. You know, people out here are, I don't know what they did. They're in some kind of what would you call it? Culture. They're in some kind of cultural creation mess, dude. Like, I don't know what the hell. This is like some kind of test out here or something. But yeah. People are like really, they're vegans and stuff like that. I don't know what the hell you call that, but they're like starting a whole new like culture out here, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've gathered that from just different things. It looks like in Portland. That's kind of the thing I like to do. I like to hike a lot and stuff. And so you know, you meet different people, and I met people from that have either been there or were from there. And I just pick up, like, some people, they think, like, Portland is, like, the place. Like, Portland is, like, would never want to ever consider living anywhere else. It's, like, the best place on the planet. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there's these, like, I just get that impression, like, people talk about Portland like it's heaven on earth or something. Like, they just, like...
Yeah, a lot of people that live here have never lived anywhere else and don't ever want to live anywhere else. And it reminds me of the Truman Show, like how they, I don't know if you remember the part where, you know, he was thinking about leaving and stuff, and people walk by in the newspaper like, hey, Truman, did you see this? Like, this is the best place in the world to live. Like, you know what I mean? Like, don't even think about leaving or going anywhere
what
else.
What's the name of that town?
Yeah. So it's like, hey, there's nothing better than this out here. So don't even. Why would you even think about going anywhere else?
So it's some sort of social incubator.
Yeah.
Place, you think? It probably so. I mean, I get that impression. Like it's pretty unique, and then it's pretty heavy on the so-called alternative stuff.
Oh yeah.
So-called progressive politics people and alternative, and they're probably like just absolutely love, a lot of people there probably just absolutely love the idea of Agenda 21. Like if you were to tell them about it, they would say, oh yeah, that sounds great. Yeah.
And have you ever read it too? You know, it seems like these things that they put out here, it's so perfect. Like it's like what would the perfect murder be? It'd be like something that you could do that would allow some kind of plausible deniability. You know, it seems like everything that they do, there is some plausible deniability that they have. So it's almost like you don't have, I don't know, because when you do read Agenda 21 or, yeah, you look into that, it sounds really great, but, like, you got to look at it, like, from the bigger picture. Like, I don't know. They're really good at the way they write these things, though, and making it, like, sound so wonderful, you know, but it's so fucking devious, dude, so evil.
Yeah, but it's like you see that it is happening all around you, and you learn to recognize it, and then you see the city planning that's going on in your local area. That's the thing about it. It's like right in your local area, you see the city planning, you pick up the paper and you read it. It's like, man, that is just all Agenda 21. It's all Agenda 21. I mean, they're trying to like revive the downtowns. They're putting in bike trails. They just put in a bus line. Like, and I talk about this, just how coordinated this shit is. They had the bus line, and they didn't have a bus here before for like a long time. They had one back in the 50s, but for a long time they didn't have buses here because there just wasn't no demand for it and not enough people riding it. So there was just no reason to have a bus line. Well, like right before, I'm telling you, this is like timed and coordinated perfectly right before the gas prices went up to like over $3 a gallon. Like they went from $1.60 something around $1.50, and people were squealing about that. Like, oh, dude, that's high gas, man. It's almost $2 a gallon. And you come from California, how high was the gas out there? Oh, we was paying $2.50. That's crazy high gasoline. You paying that high gasoline out there? No wonder you moved back here. That's crazy. It's like, oh, yeah. Now it's like almost $4 a gallon. Well, back before it got up to like over $3, $4 a gallon, they had buses here. Brand new buses. Oh, yeah, we're putting in buses. Oh, like why all of a sudden you putting in buses? And, you know, gas is still $1.50 a gallon. Well, then after gas, you know, they get the buses in, and then the gas shoots up to over $3 a gallon. Then you understand, okay, yeah, it's Agenda 21. It's all coordinated. It's getting, you know, a lot of people were it put the car out of reach for them. You know, they have a budget and they're trying to work and they're trying to put gas in a car and they just can't do it. And shit has always been this way. I don't think this is like a United Nations takeover either.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's why I don't really like to even like, I got to look more into Agenda 21 and stuff, you know, because I think there's something more to all that. But now I lost what I was going to say. Sorry, go ahead.
It's just so obvious, though, that there's this other set of rulers and other set of these groups that are coordinating all this shit. And it, you know, the older I get, the more stuff I see, and the more I stiff, and the you know, you get awareness of this stuff, and you see it going on around you. You see the stuff that's in the media, and you just see how the timing couldn't be better. Like they'll come out with something like, just like when I gave that example about the buses, and then the gas goes way up, and it's like, oh, they must be psychic. No, they're not psychic. Nobody's psychic, and they know what's coming, and mm-hmm. certain people are in the know on it. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. Also, I think maybe another reason they want us all to ride the bus so they can run their wonderful drills on us and whatnot. Like, there's a couple articles. I mean, who knows how much you can trust them, but like back in New York, and there was one here where they said that they were running some kind of chemical test, like July through August, like a whole month they were going to be running chemical like chemical drill tests on the public users of the metro system out here, or light rail, and then they're just like, thanks for using us, thanks for riding the bus, and yep, we're going to be running drills like all month on you guys, basically, so thanks for your money and your guinea pigness. But yeah, they run drills on the unaware users of the bus lines out here.
Yeah, so they're going to test chemicals on you and stuff?
Yeah, that's exactly what they're saying. So.
Yeah, why not?
And they said it was harmless, too. So.
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
they did the same thing. They did this up in Moore, Oklahoma. It's like outside Oklahoma City. This was like I think it was around 2004. And they ran this news story, and they said, yeah, we're going to be testing out radar. And they said, oh, the FBI was going to get in on the deal. And this was in this, it's kind of a small town. It's only like 1,500 people or something like that. And they said, oh, we're going to spray this stuff out of the planes. And it's bacteria, but it's not going to hurt you. It's, you know, we're testing the effects of radar on biologicals. And I was like, man, that is such bullshit. Like, they're going to drop chemical agents on people or biological agents and you know, test, see what happens. And, when people get sick, they're going to see how many people get sick. I mean, obviously, that's the only reason why you're going to drop bacteria out of planes and stuff. So, I mean, I got on the phone and I called. I just went on the phone directory and found a number of a florist or somebody, like a business in the area. I think it was a florist or something. And I called in this young lady answered the phone, and I got to talking to her. And, yeah, she knew what they were about to do, and she heard about it and this and that and other thing. And I said, you should talk to the people in your town and start asking them questions like, why are they dropping biological agents on you? That doesn't make any sense. I mean, can't they test radar on stuff that's inert? You know, they don't have to have biological agents dropping on you. And I tried to talk them into and then I heard later on that they backed off and they decided not to do it. It's like, but how crazy is that? You know, it's like, they were going to go along with it and let them drop shit on their head. And probably a lot of people would have got sick. I don't know if it was going to, you know, no telling what. I think if it got on got infected on somebody who was like already had like a beat down immune system, like an older person, or maybe like a child that was already kind of weak or something, it could have killed somebody. It could have fucked them up pretty bad. You know, no telling what the hell they were doing with this spraying shit on people, but. Yeah, just going to do experiments on a Oklahoma town, just announcing on the news and everything. Yeah, we're going to be experimenting on nothing to fear, though, folks, nothing to see here. You know, they showed like a bag of flour, and they said, yeah, it's going to be about as harmless as this flour. And it's like, but, I told that lady, I said, hey, you know, you need to ask them, like, why are you dropping actual biological shit on people then? Why don't you just drop flour and test that on your radar, right?
Yeah, if it's as hard as flour, did they have to show a bag of flour and like point to it?
Yeah, that's what they did on the news. They like took a bag of flour and then like dumped it out, and then the guy's like gesturing towards it with his hand, like, oh, here's flour, folks, something that we're here, same stuff you make cookies out of. That's what you know, like, yeah, it was ridiculous. I was like. Wait a minute, am I seeing this? Is this like a spoof, or what is this I'm watching on TV here? And, it's just surreal. It's just very bizarre. And they were going to test biological shit on people, just dump it on their head, but dump it on your head. You're out there mowing the grass, and you shit come out of the plane, drop it on your head. You know?
If it's harmless, like, what are they testing for?
Probably
reaction,
like what they were actually doing in real life.
I think that this, and I can't get online right now. I think that they were talking about to see how effective a chemical agent would move, like, through a TriMet, you know, system, like that scenario of how, like, how much effect some kind of gas or some kind of chemical agent would have on the regular riders of the TriMet system. And these people who ride it every day, they don't have the option to opt out of this drill, you know what I mean? Like, they have to go to work, they have to ride it, and so, like, they're kind of stuck.
No, I would be pissed, man. I don't know. I mean, is there something in the water? Is there? I think there is. I think the fluoride, people drink this tap water and shit, and they drink a lot of this fluoride, and I think it fucks with their brains. You know, I think it really does. I think people are docile. They're dumbed down. They don't ask questions. They don't ask any questions to these so-called officials, like anybody that's representing themselves as the government. They don't. People in general don't question them. And the way I know that that's true is because I always question them. So, like, if I'm going to deal with anything about the government or anything coming, like, I need to do this or I need to do that or anything, I'm going to be asking them, like, 500 questions. I'm going to be asking them all kinds of shit. I'm going to be driving them crazy with freaking questions. And I can tell that they are just absolutely, totally caught off guard. It's like, why would you – what do you – sir, what are you doing? Like, you're asking me questions. Like, I, you know, we don't answer questions. We don't know. Like, that's the impression I get. Like, they're just totally caught off guard. Like, they don't, they're unfamiliar with that. And, yeah, I've gotten out of a lot of shit by doing that. Just making myself a pain in the ass, really.
Yeah.
I mean, but, it's to the point where they could test shit on people. I mean, come on. And they don't even put up a fight.
Sorry.
No, go ahead. I'm done.
I think that maybe, do you think that maybe it's because we, you know, quote unquote, have had it too good? And so we are so trusting that, you know, people can just kind of lead you down the wrong path. I think that people in other countries maybe have some kind of remembrance, or, you know what I mean, they've seen, like, you know what I mean, a lot of tyrannical kind of, I don't know, government dictation, and so they ask a little bit more questions, or they're less trusting of authority, you know. But I think that out here, people just feel like they have it so good, and I don't know, maybe they feel like nothing can go wrong, and of course they're going to trust the authorities because things have always been good, I don't know, and nobody's ever questioned it, you know, whereas I think that in other countries people have probably questioned authority a little bit more than we have. I was watching this movie called The Cabin Woods the other day, and it's kind of about rituals and stuff like that, and what they were saying was that, oh, the Americans, they're easier to run this gamut on, like they're the easiest ones out of every country that they are running this ritual on, and say that the Americans were the easiest, you know. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just like, wow.
I think that's true. I mean, and you got to take into account, too, that we get the brunt of it. I mean, we get a big, heavy dose. I mean, we go out and we buy our own televisions, which is the greatest propaganda weapon ever devised. And because we buy it, you know, it's all psychology. We go out and we buy our own television. So we think it's like, oh, you know, it belongs to me, you know, my 50-inch flat screen LED or OLED or whatever, you know, that's, you know, it's the latest, greatest thing. I got it. I bought it. I saved up my money. It's mine. But, no, that's all just psychology to – you know, it's the telescreen in 1984, and if you read the book 1984, you think, oh yeah, Winston, you know, the telescreen was forced on him. You know, he had no choice and all that stuff. But no, not in the reality of the totalitarian scientific dictatorship. It's like they use the psychological part of you purchasing your own surveillance device and your own propaganda device, and you buy your own propaganda, and you go purchase these DVDs and these CDs with all the weaponized culture embedded on them and subject yourselves to them. And that's what we do. You know, we're
we're conditioned to do that, and then all this, the whole time thinking that it somehow belongs to us, like this culture is somehow American, or it comes from the grassroots, and yeah, it's part of our birthright or part of our heritage, and it's just the way people speak of it. It's like, you know, they have this ownership of it. But
yeah.
No, it's like, it's not true.
Well, that's interesting you say that. It's like they use the sense of entitlement against you, basically. I don't know if you've ever read Plato, The Republic. I haven't read it all, but, you know, at the beginning, Socrates and them are kind of talking about, I guess, kind of how entitlement could be like the road to, it leads to, I don't know, you kind of feeling like you are, I'm so sorry.
Like part of it, like you're part of it. You're in on the game.
You
have a sense of accomplishment or.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it's like psychology. If somebody has like, actually this is out of like the Unabomber Manifesto. And he talks about how everybody has like this sort of not a lust for power, but everybody naturally has a I forget what he referred to it as, but a desire for power in like in your sphere of influence, you know, not really to lord it over people or anything like that, but you have to have this. You have this sense of control over your surroundings and your environment, and that you play an active role in how things are, you know.
Wow.
And then and everybody has that innate desire to so-called primitive people, they would have those roles fulfilled in natural ways, like the feminine role would consist of this, that, and other thing, but the feminine had power in her particular role and her sphere of influence. The man had power in things like the hunting and stuff like that, and they fulfilled that end of the deal, and there was a balance there, and the children had their part and participated in it, and the grandparent and everybody. And then, and after that was all done away with, and you have these artificial constructs that were brought in to fulfill those needs and desires.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have this void that people are trying to fill with things like hobbies, things like other interests and stuff like that, or knowing about baseball stats or something like that, but they're all artificial goals and stuff like that people can take, and then they can feel like they have this sort of sense of control or artificial sense of importance by being able to like recite these baseball stats or football stats or whatever their particular interest happens to fall in. Yeah, so where was I going with this? Yeah, that ends up being like a drive that people have, and a lot of the stuff around is just set up to give people a sense of power, a sense of control. But it's a false sense of control. That's why I think people are drawn into these like virtual worlds, where like they can become like an expert gamer, and have like a high degree of success in these virtual realms. But then like they go into the so-called real world, and they're just a dweeb, and nobody pays them any much attention, and they don't have many friends. But they go online, and they're this superhero shooter that can rack up an incredible amount of points in a short time, and they're in these role-playing games and all this stuff, and yeah, that's just another way that these I wish I knew the term for that, but it's power something. It's power, the power drive or the power motivator. It's like I forget. But yeah, it's like just, you know, everybody needs that. It's like it's like a human it's just a human basic,
like
human desire.
Yeah, it's like the sex drive, but more subtle, I guess.
The sex drive or drive for food or drive, any kind of drive. It's like it's just like a human drive. But it's not necessarily power seeking. It's not like you feel like you have to be the boss of somebody else or anything like that. It's just more or less has to do with your ability to influence your circumstances is what I'm saying.
Like
everybody
needs a niche or some kind of way to feel superior at some kind of moment, you know, in their life. Like, is that what you're saying, kind of? Or like,
if you think about it, that's just true. I mean, that's just common sense. Think about it.
Yeah, you got to win. Everybody's got to win sometimes. They got to feel like they're winning sometimes. So.
Yeah, and then, you know, I think of the point I was trying to make with all this is like, you see people so passive in like, for instance, like, oh, yeah, we're going to test this stuff on you. And then, like, you know, at first I was hoping maybe, you know, by making that phone call, and I think I did. I think I maybe got that young lady thinking, and she passed it on to some other people, and they said, yeah, you know what, that's kind of right. Maybe we should start asking these questions. But I think when they were initially in that state of passivity, like where they were just going to defer to the authority figure, that is like from – our conditioning, you know, we've deferred all those, like, you know, important decisions and shit. Like, oh yeah, we'll just, yeah, go ahead and let them spray shit on our kids and stuff. You know, it's fine. You know, it's like, you know, like, especially the men in that community said, oh, hell no. No, you're not spraying shit on my kids. No, I mean, I don't care if you're the fucking FBI or the Pope or what the hell you are. You're not going to do that shit. But it's like, you know, we're so conditioned to where we're at the point where, like, we would allow an authority figure to spray shit out of a plane. And I think that might have been even more of a psychological experiment than it even was a biological experiment. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was like, because that's the way it came across. It was so kind of surreal. It's like, oh, yeah, they show like a bag of flour. As they're saying that there's going to be live bacteria sprayed on me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's how it played out on the TV. It's like they were saying, yeah, it's harmless, like this flour, like, you know, baking flour. But that they went on to explain, it's going to be biological agents, but it's okay. You know, it's like, well, that, and I think too, it's like, the reason why they're even considering going through with something like that is that they know that people have those natural desire, that natural power drive or whatever you want to call it, is diverted off into inconsequential things like football and bullshit like that. And then it just leaves them open to this kind of manipulation, and, you know, to the point where they spray shit on you out of a plane with your consent. Oh yes, well they probably make you like sign like a waiver and stuff, you know, like when they come in there, everybody in that town. And if you get sick, don't sue us. And oh, okay, where do I sign this at? All right, now this ain't gonna make me sick, is it? No. No, it's fine. You know, it's going to be okay. But, you know, we're going to need to go ahead and have you sign this waiver. Okay, I guess so. If you say so, Mr. FBI man.
What do you think about people with money in the bank too? You think that's kind of a sense of empowerment too, and so they kind of feel like they're in control because they've got a little bit of money in the bank?
Oh yeah, this is another artificial perception tool. I mean, it's not, it's nothing that it really, impacts itself on the real world until you start to, you know, take it out of the bank or whatever and put it towards something. But
I think that because, again, this gentleman that I work with or whatever, he's older and stuff, and, you know, he's older to the point where buying a house for him, his first house he bought was $11,000. You know, like that's how good things were back then, you know. So he saved some money, and he's done it all by himself, you know, or, you know, on his own sweat and tears, basically. And so, you know, kudos to him. But, again, like what Plato was speaking about, I think he was asking, Socrates was asking someone like, oh, so did you inherit your money or, you know, did you work for it? Like, yeah, I inherited my money, you know. And he's saying that, like, the fact that he inherited his money or his wealth, like his wealth was inherited and he didn't work for it, it was just kind of given to him, makes him more humble. And he's he says that people who work for their wealth and work for the things that they have basically have a sense of entitlement or accomplishment, almost like giving birth to a child, you know. And so they own that and they protect it. And like, you know, this gentleman that I work with almost speaks down to people who, you know what I mean, live paycheck to paycheck or do this and that, you know. And it's almost like because he works so hard that he's superior to everyone else. And, you know, he's got this huge sense of entitlement, basically, for, you know, what he has and what he's made for himself, basically. So,
I mean, it's all artificial. I mean, if you think about it, it doesn't even really exist in reality. It's just this, you know, and then people have this, if they have this perception, like you're like a billionaire, or millionaire, very wealthy person, people treat you different. I mean, and it doesn't even have to be, you know, you don't even have to have any, like, you know, position at your company open that they want or anything like that. They just automatically, people will treat you differently if they know that you're wealthy, you know, like you're treated with more respect or more, you know, they'll defer to you. It's all based on these belief systems, though. I mean, money is a belief system. Government is a belief system. I mean, it's no different than any religious belief. I mean, it's like belief in the government. If you believe that the government really has power and is really legitimate, like, you know, judges are really worthy of a high degree of respect and they're real and they're somehow deserving of the power that they have over you. If you believe that, you're really no different than like a Mormon, a Jehovah's Witness, or anything like that. It's the same type of a system, institution. It's just like this, you have this belief in this institution that was made up by some men a long time before you were born. And what evidence do you have that they have any kind of special magical power in order to decree something as a law or a holy writ or anything like that? You just have to take it on faith, right? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, sorry, I had myself on mute. Yes, sir, I'm listening.
Yeah, so do you believe that judges are special, important people?
Oh, you know, actually, I was listening to you guys' call the other day, and you were asking, you know, why do they still wear the gown and, you know, the black robe? Like, why haven't we gotten rid of that? And I was thinking, like, well, I think that, you know, maybe just as police have to wear uniforms and the uniforms too, but especially for a judge, they have to wear something that nobody else wears, you know, something that we don't see anybody in ever until we enter a courtroom, basically, you know, like it has to be something so different, basically. And I've never seen anybody in a black robe ever, unless I'm, you know what I mean, only a judge, basically. And so I think that's probably why, one of the reasons why they still wear the black robes, you know, just because simply because nobody else wears them, and they have to seem like they're so altruistic and they're so superior to everybody else in pants and jeans,
yeah.
You know.
Like, what if you are going to court for a traffic ticket, and then you show up to court like in a black robe, like just like the judge has on?
Maybe I should try and do that. We'll see.
Yeah,
what happens.
They were talking about that on.
Wear a GoPro.
Yeah, and then wear a black robe, like a. Yeah, they were talking about that on Mark Stevens' call. I like to listen to that. Because he goes into how, you know, government is just it's a fictitious idea. It's not real. It's just based on beliefs. And,
you know,
yeah, he was proposing that. I was like, yeah, it's a pretty good idea.
You know what may happen is people in the courtroom may part for you like the Red Sea and let you just walk right through, you know, if you carry yourself right. They might think that you're actually the judge.
Right. Well, I mean, is that against the law? Are you impersonating a judge? Because there ain't no, like, badges or official shit on it. It's just a garment. It's like, is there any law that says you can't wear a black robe? I mean, I don't know. Now, I know there's, like, a law against impersonating a police officer. Like, if you go strutting around, like, in a police uniform, and you're not an officially sanctioned, it's not an officially sanctioned magic costume that's officially sanctioned by the gang called that identify themselves as the government, then, yeah, it'll get you in trouble. But I don't know about the robe thing.
Don't you have to, like, do something, though? Because, like, what if you wanted to wear a police uniform for Halloween or something? I mean, that's a pretty good Halloween costume.
Yeah, you could do that. And then since they start advertising Halloween, like, in September,
can you
start wearing your police officer uniform, like, now?
Yeah,
like, I can go drive around with it, go to the store,
just
and, like, you're impersonating officers. And, whoa, wait a minute. I just got back from a Halloween celebration. Like, where were you celebrating Halloween? What's going on? It's, like, September. Well, I mean, it's in the newspaper, so I'm celebrating. And then, like,
yeah.
I take pride in making my costumes as realistic as possible, even down to
yeah.
the last stitch on the patch on the elbow on the shoulder.
Yep.
And so it's, like, virtually identical to the Lawton Police Department's.
Come on.
But, you know, it's like Happy Halloween. You know, it's all fun and games. I don't know how far you could go with that, but it'd be interesting. But yeah, try the robe thing in court and see what that gets you.
I wonder if
you
could even buy a black robe. I'm sure you could. It'd be like,
yeah, like they were saying, like a graduation gown, like you wear to graduation, like you can get them used somewhere for like $20 or something like something like that.
Yeah,
maybe
just tell everybody it's your poncho, you know.
Or, or it's something that approximates it, you know. You know, but if you know somebody that, or go to one of those, seamstress.
Yeah, have them make one for you.
Yeah. There you go. And you just bust up in there with the rope.
You know, see, I would love to. That's why, you know, you and I and other people, like, that's why we don't have any money, is because if I had money, I would actually go and run some kind of experiment like that, you know, pay people to help me out and, you know, basically get my own actors to do things. But that's probably why we don't have any money, because I'd probably start working on my own spaceship to see if space really exists.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I think somebody's tried that.
Oh, really?
They sent up it's online. I went back and tried to find it because I was talking about it last time. And so they shoot a rocket up and they got a camera on it. And they did a side-by-side comparison between their rocket footage and the Bumgarner, the guy that jumped out of the allegedly jumped out of the balloon at 100 whatever thousand feet. And yeah, you saw that, the Red Bull.
No, I heard about it. I heard about it and laughed.
Yeah, that. And then he's putting his footage side by side. And then the footage the guy did with his rocket, I mean, the horizon looks, and he claims that his little rocket thing went up in the atmosphere like over 100,000 feet, kind of close to where the Bumgarner guy allegedly was. And it was just like a night and day difference between the footage. Like the skyline was like flat in the amateur guy's footage, but in the Red Bull stunt footage, they were using some like fisheye lens or something. You could tell it was obvious, and it artificially made the Earth look curved.
So, is that footage still up there? Or?
Yeah, it's somewhere. I got to go dig it up because I had it and I was looking at it and talking about it, and I was like trying to find it when I was talking on the last call, and I couldn't find it. I could find every other video that I didn't care about, but not that one. But that's interesting. Yeah, I probably would be spending my money on rockets and shit to try to see if the Earth is flat around.
Oh, it was a Red Bull commercial?
No, they had a big hyped up deal a couple of years ago with this stunt man. I don't know what his claim to fame was, but he had done stunts or something like that. So I guess Red Bull, the energy drink, sponsored him to take a balloon up into the stratosphere and jump out and parachute out of a hot air balloon at 100,000+ feet up into the air. And if you look at the footage of it, like he's stepping out onto the platform to get ready to skydive out of there. I mean, you see that it looks like, you know, a globe is underneath him, like it's rounded, right? But it's like a fisheye lens effect. And then there's like the question whether that whole entire thing was just fake.
Yeah.
I, for one, seeing that, it's like, okay, did he for real jump out of a balloon? And then so the question is like, okay, how far up in the atmosphere can you go in a balloon? And so why would they need to fake something like that? But, you know, I could see them faking the curvature of the Earth. But then again, too, it's like if you can't go up that high, they would need to fake it. But, you know, so why would you need to fake it? You just go up a certain altitude, stop right there. You know what I mean? And just say you're at such and such altitude when you're really not.
Yeah.
So that, yeah, there was a lot of conjecture and stuff about fakery, and there were some pretty good things that were pointed out to kind of lean me toward thinking that the whole thing might have been just fake. But I'm kind of on the fence on that one. People skydive all the time. People ride hot air balloons all the time. Yeah,
not 100,000 feet though.
Not 100,000 feet, but what's to say that they? That's somehow impossible.
Well,
I just don't know.
I don't know either, but I would say I think it may be because, like, don't people usually skydive at, like, 13, 15,000 feet? And, like, you just think that, like, I mean, at what point do you pull out your parachute? I don't know. You just free fall? I don't know. I thought that you'd, like, pass out. Maybe, I don't know. It just sounds phenomenal. Like, you're going hundreds of miles an hour. I mean, that sounds incredible to me, honestly.
Yeah, it could be just a bunch of hokum. I don't know. Maybe the whole thing was completely fabricated, but
Now we got to buy
Yeah, I mean, you could do something for real, like really jump out of a balloon. And, I mean, how big of a deal is that? Say you're at a certain altitude when you're really not at a certain altitude, and then, but, you know, it's like, yeah, I don't know. It's a big question mark. But it definitely looked like they were using some kind of lens to make it look like the Earth is curved. That's definitely looks like that. Because there's this scene where he's opening up the capsule, and you see the horizon in the background, and it's totally flat. And then when he gets outside of it, it's like it's really curved looking, but it's lens distortion. And then somebody could say, well, the guy that, you know, sent up his own personal rocket with a camera, GoPro on it or whatever, maybe he's using a lens to distort it to make it look like it's flat, and it's really not flat. Well,
why would he do that?
Maybe, I don't know. But that's why, I guess you got to do the experiment for yourself, right?
Yep, got to buy a plane. But what do you think about space, though? I mean, you're talking about the Earth curvature, but what would that say that if the Earth was flat? I mean, what would that say about space?
Yeah, I mean, what does that say about space? There's like the idea that we're on the inside of the Earth instead of the outside of the Earth, and it's like kind of the reverse of what we think, and the universe is inside, and it's inside I don't know. There's just different theories and different ideas.
My number one theory is, well, I mean, I don't really have a number one theory, but yeah, I think that, well, they already kind of admit that we're in an enclosure, right? By just being on Earth, they say that the enclosure, the cap of our dome is gases, basically. And that's kind of, that's how we have our atmosphere or whatever. So, you know, that's basically a dome. Right there, and we all live on islands. You know, everybody talks about like the celebrities dying off and this and that, and going on to islands, moving to islands and stuff like that. But I was thinking, like, well, we are all on islands. Like every country is an island; it's just a big island. And so, I don't know. I just feel like that's super convenient that there's that water break. We can't just walk to the end of the Earth, you know? Like, we have to get across the waters first, and there's all these obstacles we have to do. We can't go north.
If you do anything like that, you're getting tracked like crazy no matter what. You'd probably be in a regular civilian was bad. Once you're in the water or up in the sky or over the ocean, the Coast Guard, the Navy, whoever, I mean, you can't really have any freedom. You know, they know everything you're doing.
Can't go to the North Pole. That's what I said. If I got some money, I'm going to go to the North Pole. And, you know, like, why can't we go there? And why can't we go to Antarctica? And we can't leave our little islands. You know, we can't go down. Can't go out. We can go to work. Can't go up. But I think that space is, I think that that's kind of the, I think that that's the big lie is space. You know, I think that that's what a lot of this, conspiracy on the news and all this other stuff. I think that's just the tip of the iceberg, you know? Like, I'm trying to figure out what's really out there, if there really is anything. I think that that's, like, the ultimate question. I don't know. And I don't think that I don't think that no one knows, too. I don't think that it's an unknown thing, you know? I think that it's something that's been covered up for years, hundreds of years, you know. It's the big lie, basically. And all these things that we see in front of us are, it's kind of like the snowballing lie, you know, like you have to keep coming up with lies and lies to, like, cover up the first one. So it seems like that's just kind of the life that we live.
Like the Big Bang Theory is kind of like the theory that, you know, oh yeah, the universe kind of exploded out of nothing at a single point of nothingness, 4.5 billion years ago. And how plausible would that be?
if you know, the Earth is flat and doesn't spin, and it's kind of suspended out in the middle of space and is not really moving, you know, how could a Big Bang how could you explain that with a Big Bang? But if you have this model of the Earth is spinning around a sun and everything's spinning and rotating, you could kind of sell this the plausibility of the idea that, you know, it's a result of an explosion. That's why everything is kind of still in motion, and it's still expanding, and it's still spinning, and it's still, everything is kind of always in a constant state of, you know, animation constantly, you know. So we're, you know, so maybe that whole lie about the Earth revolving around the sun and all that was to set the stage later for the concept of the Big Bang. And then, you know, Darwinism and naturalistic materialism and all those isms that get us to the modern day, where you have, you know, the scientific, the religion of science is like the state religion, like I was talking about on the last call I did, is how, you know, evolutionism and naturalistic materialism and all that is the state-sanctioned religion of the day. You know, it's like that's what's going to be taught to children in school. You know, you got all kinds of taxpayer-funded museums and stuff like that promote that theory or, you know, belief system. And, you know, libraries, government-published books and all that stuff prop up Darwinism and all that. So, you know, maybe just like you just got this saying that, like, that those series of lies, like the Earth being, you know, round and spinning and all that stuff, is just one series of lies after another that prop up the next lie. And that's the reason why they were ingrained into people, is to prepare them for the next lie to come, which a lot of people think that it's this alien invasion idea. Like, you know, hey, there's all these different planets, you know, since the Big Bang formed all these different planets, you know, and then, you know, we evolved here by, you know, absolutely 100% coincidental random happenstance. So that must have absolutely happened on some other planet. There's so many of them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a matter of time before one of those highly evolved forms of life come to visit us. You know, it's just natural that would, you know, eventually happen. So, I mean, it's almost like a guarantee, right? If you follow that whole line of thinking down to its logical conclusion, then it sounds pretty plausible. Yeah, that, like, oh, yeah, aliens, I mean, we're bound to get invaded by aliens at one point or another, because that's just the probability of the circumstances that we're in right now, right?
Well, I think that well, first of all, the whole alien, the first person who came out with the UFO or sighted a UFO, or first time it was spoken about, was from someone who, like, worked in the news. Basically, he just, like, decided to make mini models of UFOs and stuff, and parade them around in front of a video camera, and then say that he saw something. And he just happened to work for a news agency. Damn it! I wish I could remember this documentary. But it talks about, like, the top five hoaxes, and Sasquatch was, like, the first one. And basically, that's what I was always wondering, was not wondering, but kind of alluding to the fact that these hoaxes, these giant hoaxes like Sasquatch and UFOs and stuff, it's not just somebody sitting on their couch and just coming up with something, just trying to make a big joke or trick somebody just for a laugh, you know? Like, there's an agenda behind all these hoaxes that come out, especially UFOs and Sasquatch and stuff, and they basically just admitted it, that, you know, they worked for, that they were put on to do this by producers of certain networks and stuff like that, and they come, you know, they held the secret for 30 years and this and that, and it seems like the whole UFO thing is a total, like, what would you call that? It's not a red herring, but I don't know. It's like the perfect scapegoat, you know. I don't even think that Planet exists, really. Like, I don't know. I don't think that what we see, like, when we look up in the sky is, like, what's out there. Like, the moon and stuff.
Chris has had many long talks about this.
You
had a lot of talks about this.
Oh, well, yeah, I don't want to go back into it then, but, yeah, I was just saying, like, yeah, that's kind of my opinion. Like, there's no way that what we're looking up and seeing is actually what's out there. I just don't believe that. And it's how convenient that all the convenience with the moon about it never spinning and all this crap. It's like, who knows what the hell that is.
Yeah, I remember we did one show, and I don't really stand on either side of this. I didn't really research it, but I did one show with Chris, and Marcus was on, and Marcus made a good point about, you know, the flat Earth theory, and he said, how come you take a telescope to the beach and you look out over the ocean out miles? It doesn't, like, the curvature of the Earth doesn't affect what you're looking at. It doesn't drop off. You know what I mean? You still see straight out no matter how far you look. I thought that was a pretty good point. I'm not saying that I believe that on a theory or anything. I'm just saying it makes you think, you know?
Yeah, I definitely think that they have to kind of ignore, like, the flat Earth thing, because I think, just like we were saying earlier, that would have huge implications on, like, where we are in whatever you want to call it, the universe. Like, we're obviously not spinning, we're not moving. So, you know, if that's a lie, that the Earth isn't round and stuff, then, like, you know, what's outside of the Earth is a lie, too. And I think that just saying that, like, we're on a moving object that's moving hundreds of thousands of miles an hour, just like, hey, you can't fucking leave this thing. Like, you can't get off this rock.
That's how deep this rabbit hole goes when you're talking about this type of subject matter. I mean, who knows how much we actually know? We might know.
Oh, right, exactly.
You know the NASA shit is fake. I mean, what they show, we know that's fake. I mean, I was just looking at this article. I talked about this before. I have this in. I was going to talk about this, so I guess it's a good time to talk about it since we're bringing up the subject of NASA and stuff. And well, by the way, it's 9:12 p.m. September 29, 2014. Hoaxbusters call. We're talking about, well, flat Earth and stuff. I guess this falls under the category of cosmology, right? Like concept of what the universe actually is and what it's made up of.
And cosmetology, but that's makeup, right?
Cosmetology.
Yeah, that's like makeup in here.
Yeah. Cosmo, not to be confused with Cosmopolitan.
Yeah, sorry, man, I didn't mean to tell you that.
Well, look at this article about the Mars Curiosity rover.
Oh, that was terrible, man. Remember watching that? How not only how blatantly fake it looked, but how much it looked like just staged pep rally, how they were all just hooting and hollering, chanting USA and clapping for each other. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's all put on and it's all actors and it's all bullshit. I mean, here's the article right here talking about, and this is almost like telling you that it's fake in so many ways without coming right out and here's the title. NASA found filming August's Mars landing in the California desert. Now notice how they're right there. They're suggesting the conspiracy angle, like they're really filming it out in the desert, right?
Yeah.
In the headline there, and then the subhead reads, "Just a rehearsal for the real one," insists Rover Boffin, which is the, you know, scientist. Yeah, I think
the same type of angle Alex Jones pushes, too. That, yeah, the moon footage is fake. That's only because they didn't want to show you the real stuff. The real stuff they got in the thousands of astronauts that are up there and have died and all this and stuff. It's like, oh, my God.
So that's why I like this article. It's basically telling you that the shit's fake. But, you know, it's not coming right out and telling you, but it's like, I mean, you can kind of read between the lines and, you know, but, you know, of course, you know, there's there's his pictures on now. You know, they're still there. You can still go look them up. Where there's, you know,
the lines, but 9 out of 10 people can't read between the lines.
No, 9 out of 10 people can't. But you know, if somebody wants to, like, you know, or maybe listening to this podcast for the first time or something like that, and saying, "Oh, that's just flat Earth stuff. That's just crazy." Well, I mean, you have to understand.
It warrants
like,
a conversation. You know what I mean? It definitely warrants a conversation.
No, it warrants a conversation, and then you got to understand like why we're coming from, because we're kind of already kind of at a certain level.
We used to be in about everything. We have to doubt it.
In a progression of thought, yeah, about, you know, knowing that, you know, the moon landing was fake, and then this Mars rover shit is fake. It's like, well, they're not really going into space, and then you got to ask, like, you know, oh, and then the ISS, the space.
Oh, man, I watched some videos on that yesterday. That is so brutally fake.
Yeah, it's so fake, but then it's like, what? Then the next, you know, it just raises another series of questions like, okay, how are they, why is it they're not going to space? There's got to be some reason why,
you
know.
Well,
they're
probably not technically capable to, but the whole reason that they would do something like a space station is the same reason they would do the moon mission, is to appear technically superior, military superior to everybody else in the world. Like, if we can go to space, if we got space stations, are you really going to come over here with your little Navy and try and mess with us? We'll blow you out of the sky from space.
Yeah, but there's no real, yeah, there wasn't no real Cold War or anything. I don't believe any of that.
Oh, I know.
I don't believe that there's.
I don't believe there was either, but that whole.
That's
why the Russians and the Americans have been hand in hand in the space program. It's just like the Cold War.
On a certain level, maybe that kind of gets
endless money too, Chris. Funnel of money.
Right, but this is like, I mean, that's why I was like bringing this stuff up, is because we're talking about flat Earth and stuff like that, and it wasn't to change the subject off of it as NASA fakery. I was bringing it up to point out, like, okay, why question whether the Earth is flat or it's round or whatever? Because we know that NASA, which is a lot of this stuff allegedly comes from, right? The picture that everybody's familiar with of the glowing blue globe out in the middle of the space, and then that's Mother Earth and all this other bullshit. Well, NASA's full of shit, and we know that. So then that opens up for questioning, like, all this shit. Like, is the Earth really round? Is it really spinning around the sun? Is any of this stuff even true? Totally natural.
You know that the simplest answer, the simplest answer is probably the right one, the true one. And so, like, why would they fake the moon and landing and Mars and all this stuff? And, like, I think the simplest answer for me is that because neither one of them exists, basically.
Oh, you don't think that it actually exists? Like,
no. I mean,
wow.
I think that space would probably not be space, you know, for sure. And the reason that the moon is out there, for one of the reasons, like, why we can see it so clearly, is, like, we gotta be able to see something, you know what I mean, out there, or else we question it too much. I don't really think that Mars exists and stuff. I don't really think that 9 planets exist.
What do you think we're looking at when we look at the sky and see celestial bodies and stuff like that, or what we told the celestial bodies? What do you think it is? Is it a screen? Is it a projection? What do you think it is?
I mean, in, you know, what words that we have to describe it, I think that it's some kind of illusion, definitely, you know. It's definitely, I don't know, that's just how I feel now, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then, like, in the Hunger Games 2, the Hunger Games number 2, I watch stupid shit like that every once in a while to see, like, what they're putting in there. But, you know, she shot an arrow up in the sky, and it was she was inside of a, like, fake dome thing, and the arrow, like, bounced off, and it was, like, the fake sky and everything, you know, so.
Thought she was in reality when she did it, and then she realized it was fake?
Well, she thought that she was somewhere on the planet, but, you know, they were putting some kind of projection, illusion thing, so she was kind of in an enclosure, That,
oh wow, I'd like to see that.
And then she broke through the sky though, and it was the sky, like, but you know what I mean. But we're so yeah, I don't know what it is up there, but I don't think that it's what we're seeing for sure.
Yeah. Why is the moon round? I mean, is that it? And you could look. I mean, you could go out and. Here's a telescope. Like, I just typed into Google, best prosumer telescope, you know, and it gives you a list. And then, you know, here's the telescope. It's the Celestron Nexstar SE series telescope.
Yeah.
And then it's got a picture of Jupiter. So, allegedly, this is, like, what you see through this telescope. And then you see this, like, round. I mean, it's pretty tripped out, man. It's like pretty crazy. It's like you can see the planets that big through this telescope. So if you got this thing and you pointed it where Mars was supposed to be, you'd see friggin' Mars through this telescope. I mean,
you'd see the rover riding around on it.
Right,
but
what are you really looking at though? I mean, what is
yeah.
Like, you know how our minds work, like, we'll see this picture of what is allegedly Jupiter, right? And so, like, if we're just looking at in this with no context, you know, we're just looking at this, it's just a circle with, like, these little stripes going through it. Is it a marble? Like, how big is it? You have no context to understand it. But, like, you know, when you see Jupiter and you see Mars and you see Saturn and stuff like that, not only are you looking at this imagery, but all your education and all the propaganda and everything you've heard about these planets, automatically your brain automatically draws upon that to interpret
right.
what you're looking at.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it's the same thing when you look at through a telescope and stuff too. It's like, oh yeah, I'm looking at this object that is thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of miles out in this thing called the vacuum of space. And it is revolving around the sun and all that stuff. It's like, I mean, do you get all that information just by looking through this telescope at this object somewhere out there? No,
yeah.
Your education, your conditioning, your programming tells you all this shit about what it is you're looking at.
They tell you what you're looking at, basically.
Yeah, you told it, but. You know, that's how, and that's the thing about science and stuff like that. Is it a fact? Yes, it's a fact. I could point that thing in the sky, and as a matter of fact, I see, like, this red round thing. Well, that's Mars. Well, I mean, is that a fact? It's a red round thing that's referred to as Mars. Yeah, I guess that's true. But then, like, How far can you go with that? In other words, to get something that's rock solid proof for yourself personally, that's based on your own personal direct observation. I mean, even with this high power telescope here that you could probably go buy, and it's probably you could go purchase this thing for, like, you know, $5,000 or however. I don't even know if it costs that much, but it looks pretty
strange. That's where they got you, Chris. We don't have the resources that they do to even look into if this thing is bullshit. It's the size of space boats, you know?
But even if you could go to, like, one of these observatories and stuff like that and look at
the planet.
That's
not good enough. You have to try and go straight up into space to find out for yourself. I wouldn't trust the observatory. If we're looking at an illusion, what's the observatory going to do? Give us a thing and look at the illusion?
Yeah, like it could be painted on the inside of the lens of the.
Yeah,
more close up. It's just not going to be different. We're going to get outside of it.
Chris, you remember Synecdoche, New York, when we were talking about that movie?
Uh huh.
And she
yeah,
was
I can watch that movie.
She was painting, like, with the little microscope, basically, like microscope painting. So the viewer paintings, you had to, like, look into the lens. And then you saw the detail, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if I remember that part.
Oh, because she was like an art. That was her art, was like really tiny, tiny paintings, basically, that you had to view through like a microscope. but anyway,
oh, okay.
That's just, that could be like what the sky is. You know, like it's a, you can't see the detail until you put it through this lens, the nice little painting for you. But
how do you prove that wrong though? I mean, it's like that's the thing, you know, we're under this belief system called science, and everybody, I don't care if you're a Bible believing Christian or you're a Muslim or you're an atheist or who you are, it's like to some degree or another, like everybody in our culture and our society believes in science, right? And pretty confident that, it, you know, a lot of stuff has been, you know, proven beyond a shadow of a doubt by way of something called the scientific method. But how much do we know about the scientific method itself? I mean, is the scientific method, it is like, you could kind of understand. Yeah, I mean, most people, I think, have a kind of a basic understanding of what that is. But, I mean, but as far as this thing called science goes, I mean, what are we really talking about? Are we talking about some accumulated body of knowledge about objectable, testable reality that surrounds us? Or are we talking about some political abstract construct like everything else around us that we observe or that we're finding out right now about our reality, that it's like, you know, the moon landing's fake, a lot of this stuff, 9/11's fake, all this, like a lot of this stuff is fake. But, you know,
yeah.
Like, not that, like, you step outside and you put your foot on the green grass, that's not fake. It's, you know, to me, that's real. It's like something real. And it'll always react the same, and it'll always be the same, and it's something that's tangible and real. But, like, but the stuff we're being fed by these institutions, or at least, you know, the people that identify with these institutions, like the government or science or whatever, like, how do we know about, I mean, we're already getting to the point, at least I am, to where I don't trust them, and I can't believe, and I have to go back and I have to re-examine, like, everything that I thought I knew. So, like, how far can you go with this stuff? I mean, how far do you need to go with this stuff? That's another whole question. It's kind of like you have to question, like, I mean, you know, while you're at it, questioning everything, you know, you might as well question flat Earth or the kind of very, you know, underpinnings of so-called reality and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, I think that, were you going to say something, Brian? Sorry.
Nope.
I go pretty far with it, actually. I think that that's kind of the whole point, just because I kind of feel like the answers to, like, life, like, basically, like, I'm trying to figure out what the hell we are doing here and what the hell we are. I'm to the point, like, you've seen The Matrix, right? The Matrix trilogies?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And they show the machines, and they show that we're powering the machines, and we're batteries, we're energy, basically like that. But they never show us what the machines were doing, did they? They never showed us what the machines were building and why we were powering them, like, for what reason. And so that's kind of, like, where I am. Like, I want to figure out, like, what are we powering, basically? And I guess you got to figure out what the machine is first, you know? I'm kind of to the point where, yeah, I definitely go really far with it, and I don't believe anything that they say, and I don't believe any of the history that we have, and I think that if history and science are linked together, then yeah, we can't believe in science either, because, you know, it's it goes hand in hand, basically.
Yeah.
I talk about this too. It's like, you just got through saying, I can't believe anything like they say. And then, like, a lot of people will jump on you at that point and say, well, who do you mean by they? You know, like, there's this they. And my question would be to them, it's like, well, you know, on the other hand, you're always hearing people will make this statement that in the same sort of context. They'll say, like, oh, we do this or we chose to do that. You hear it all the time.
Okay,
especially when it talks about, like, things of, like, oh, you talk about history. Oh, like, as, you know, as if this is like this sort of alluding to this concept that mankind is acting as like one kind of collective unit, like, or, you know, so-called United States citizens are acting as like one kind of cohesive unit or anything like that. And that's absurd.
Weird.
What basis is there for that? Like, we went to the moon or we went to war or we do that. But you hear it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, well, hell no, I didn't go to the moon. No, hell no, I didn't go to war in Iraq. I had nothing to do with it. But you hear that all the time. It's like they talk in the collective we. Isn't it more normal to talk in those terms, like they? You don't have to identify they.
Mm-mm.
You're just acknowledging that there is a group
entity, yeah,
of people, yeah, who have different motives from your own and that are trying to influence you, and these represent something other than or outside of yourself, right?
Yeah.
That are trying to influence your thinking and take you in a certain direction. It's like they, them, or whoever they are. That's not important to identify who they are, just the acknowledgement that there is a they. There's definitely a they. There's
just
definitely
to
a they.
Yeah. Just to acknowledge that there is a grand deception going on a scale that the people have no idea. It's just everything.
Yeah, it's just the acknowledgement of that reality.
You have to doubt everything, you know? And somebody said to me the other day, they were trying to be real confrontational to me on my Facebook page. Somebody that only goes on there when they see something that they think I'm totally wrong about, but it's always something they never look into. They just see the headline on the news and they're like, you know, call me wrong or whatever. And
yeah, it looks like we're going to war with Syria. It's like, fuck no, we nothing. But people will say that kind of shit all the time and they never get challenged on it or they never get pulled up on
there
it. Like, all the time.
No, they never do. I forget where I was going, my point. I'll tell you again when I remember.
Oh, sorry, man. Yeah, I didn't.
No, it's all right. It's all right. I got a little sidetracked. It's okay. I remember she was saying something that was ridiculous. I wanted to tell you what my rebuttal was, too, but I can't remember what it said for right a second.
Well,
anyway.
I mean,
it's
just...
Oh.
Go ahead.
Oh, well, go ahead and make your point real quick. I was going to say something about
I know what it is. She was like, oh, so what news sources? Because somebody posted up there an article from InfoWars. You know, obviously I don't trust InfoWars. But all it was, you know, was referring to how the FBI statistics said there were no deaths at where Sandy Hook was in Newtown, you know? Not that I would ever share an Alex Jones article. Somebody put it on my wall. So then the girl's like, oh, it moves to say that InfoWars is credible. I said, I never said InfoWars is credible. As a matter of fact, and then I went off about Alex Jones for a second. And I said, but if ABC News posted this, I don't trust them either. And she was shitting on my wall just the same so I could read the story and see what they had to say about it. And then she said, well, who do you trust? Where do you go to get your news? I go, I don't trust any one source. I have to go everywhere and dig through a bunch of lies to try and get a little bit of truth out of everything. You can't take the lazy way out. There isn't one website or one TV channel that's going to give you a whole bunch of truth served up on a silver platter. It's just,
mm-hmm.
That's what people want. They're so lazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But then they're so confrontational when they haven't researched anything to lick. And I don't even come with the attitude, oh, I researched this and didn't, you know, know anything. They come to me with that attitude, like, because they saw our headline on the news, I'm an idiot, you know, even if it's something we've done extensive research on, and they don't have a clue, you know? They don't know anything.
Well, like you were saying, I was reading your comments on the YouTube video, like you said something to somebody, you told them, like, yeah, there's a lot more evidence against there being victims on 9/11 than there is for victims on 9/11, which is true.
definitely true.
If you're counting on that type of evidence, you know, which, you know, we really can't, but I mean, it is.
That's what they do, you know. If that's what they want to do, then go ahead.
And then, you know, for me, it's like, it is like, well, I'm definitely not going to believe anything that they're telling me. So if something is going to lead me in a completely opposite direction of what I'm being told on the news, then it's like I naturally go with that without hesitation. And then it's like, oh, yeah, it's 180 degree opposite of what I've been told. So
if there was a booth or some kind of system set up where people could get drive-through answers for, like, anything, you know, people would freaking use that. I mean, I should make one of those. Just give me a question, and I'll give you the, I guess that's what Google is, I guess. You don't even have to drive.
You got some people that they won't look at any of your research. They won't watch a video you've made. They won't read a blog you've made.
No, they won't.
They want to ask you one question at a time and want you to sit there for 10 hours and answer one question at a time when you know by giving them one answer at a time they're never going to believe what you're saying because you have to put it in a story. And they want you to just sit there and have them say, no, you're wrong, no, you're wrong. And then you can't even refer to anything. Like, you can't be, oh, the Hearst economy shot, or oh, the not neighbor, or all this, or oh, that, or oh, what about this, or oh, what about that footage from this event? Because they don't know any of it. You can't even have a discussion.
You know what?
Yeah, and it's always like, yeah, I never heard of that. So, yeah, I don't have no comment.
What I've noticed is that people actually, some people engage and they're interested and they agree with you, too. But then you can't, they don't remember, like, what you were just talking about, or, you know what I mean? They don't even remember, like, the next day, or, like, nothing really got through to them. Like, they just kind of agree with you, because I think that's kind of what they're trained to do. Like, if you speak with authority and, like, resignation, and you're just really, like, if you're really confident with what you're saying, like, most people are going to agree with you and just go with that, but they're not really hearing you, you know? So it's interesting. You can't really talk to people who watch TV.
I approach people like this too now. I start questioning them like okay, my line of questioning goes like this. It's like, how do you arrive at the conclusions that you have right now? It's like, for instance, like, well, we went to the moon. Okay, there's the we again, going to the moon. But, okay, like, what direct personal, evidence that you have, that you've gained on your own that proves that we went to the moon, like, direct observational evidence that you've experienced firsthand for yourself? And any honest person would have to say, or the overwhelming majority of honest people would have to say, I have, like, absolutely zero evidence that falls into that category. None of us do. It's like, okay, what? The only thing we have is, most of us have, is just imagery and the say-so of so-called authorities. So basically, if anybody's going to conclude that, yes, we absolutely went to the moon, it is based on a logical fallacy called appeal to authority. Because they are just taking the so-called authority at their word and then, like, ridiculing you because you're not participating in the logical fallacy, which is appeal to authority.
I mean, think about how ridiculous...
Yeah, they always come off sounding ridiculous.
Think about how ridiculous it sounds, though, really, like, logically. What can you think about it? And I know you have, you guys, like, thought about going to Mars or to the moon, like, sending something up there or someone out there. I mean, just there would have to be absolutely no delay.
Very dangerous.
I'm sorry?
Very dangerous for the astronaut, it sounds.
Oh, especially with, right, who's going to volunteer for that, you know? And, like, there's got to be no delay in like, the responses, like, from the computer or whoever's controlling that shit, like, for them to land something on Mars. Like, nothing
totally
can go wrong.
You totally 100% put your life in their hands to do something that's never been done before. And then, it's just so far-fetched.
Even like
just
landing.
That premise, yeah. Landing on the
Mars?
Moon. or anything like that. It's just
re-entering the atmosphere. Come on now.
Yeah, and then there's this whole contention that that is not even possible because, you know, there's no atmosphere until you get to the atmosphere. It'd be like hitting a wall. So, you know, you go from absolute nothing to some degree of density to, like, you know, relatively really high level of density, and it's like you'd just instantly be disintegrated. There's just no way around it.
Chris, I'm gonna have to fly, but I want to thank you for letting me come on again so you can talk.
Oh yeah, Brian, man, appreciate it.
I'm just gonna log off because I have some company, but I'm gonna throw a headset on and listen to the rest of the show, and then when will your archive be up?
Well, I mean, if I don't have any problems, it should be up within the next couple of days.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thanks, buddy. And
all right, man.
I don't know if anybody wants to check out my site. It's therealnewsonline.com. And we do radio shows very similar to Chris. You'll see the links there for the radio archive and the live radio shows. We'll probably do one.
So you're going to do a show Wednesday night at 8?
Probably next Wednesday at 10.
Yeah, I couldn't tune in or anything because I do a call with Marcus on Wednesday night. So we got a scheduling conflict. But I listen to the uploaded audio when you get
there. We'll figure something out. Maybe I can move to Tuesdays or something. I'll talk to my guys. But yeah, next Wednesday, not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday at 10 Eastern time.
10 Eastern.
Yep,
okay.
10 Eastern. TheRealNewsOnline.com. Thanks, Chris.
All right, man. Appreciate it.
I'll talk to you later. All right.
Take care.
Okay.
Bye. So I don't know. You know, let's say you go to the doctor and you have a severed pinky finger, and then they could go in with the microsurgery and stuff and sew it back on. I believe that they can do that, and they can do a really good job, and they could help people, you know. And they do help people. I've seen it. Robert Bailey was talking about, he had some kind of virus that was, you know, he was infected and he was hallucinating and all this stuff. It was some kind of rare thing that only a small percentage of people get. And he went to the doctor and they helped him. And yeah, they have some stuff. They have some tricks up their sleeve, no doubt about it. But then on the other hand, you know, there's stuff like chemotherapy and stuff and the pharmaceuticals and stuff that I think, well, I know, and I have a lot of just firsthand experience with it and direct observation that, you know, it kills a lot of people. It's like slow death, you know, but it's death by doctor. So, yeah, I mean, can you conclude from that? Like, so can you go into other realms like science and say, well, yeah, not all science is bullshit. You know, you can look at, you know, microcircuitry or computers and stuff. That's engineering and you know, physics and science and stuff like that that goes into that, mathematics and, you know, scientific disciplines and stuff. So it's like, so on a level, yeah, science is legit. Is every single thing we're told about history, is it bunk? You know, did like Abraham Lincoln actually exist? You know, stuff like that. You can't totally throw out everything. I don't claim to like disown everything that's pushed out there by these institutions. I don't claim to say that I think that every single last iota of information out there is just complete and utter bullshit. I don't believe that. I don't believe that every single thing that's presented in the news media is absolute bullcrap. I mean, a good example is they'll tell you, oh, this certain such and such new tablet came out, and it, you know, it's like it's sort of like product placement information. Oh, did a tablet really come out, and can you really buy it for $159.95 at Target or what? Yeah, probably. And then was that in the news? Yeah, is it real? Yeah. Other stuff, did somebody get shot over a bag of dope? Yeah, was it in the news? Yeah, is it fake? No. Can you trust the news to give, but the question is, I think what it boils down to, can you trust the news media to provide you with a certain worldview? That is just straightforward and outside the realm of trying to influence you. No, you can't. Can you trust science to give you a worldview? No, you can't. Can you trust anybody to give you a particular worldview or a particular view about who you are as a person and have it be accurate and have it totally devoid of any intent to manipulate you and control you? No, you can't. So that's what I'm talking about. And I don't probably make that absolutely 100% clear all the time, but I try to be consistent. I try to do that.
Well, I don't think that everything in the news is completely fake either. Like, there was a stabbing, like, you know, around the corner or, you know, in the same area where I lived here, and then it was on the news, like, in the evening, you know. So there was just a little blip on that, you know, but I think that that's kind of the whole point, is mixing in real things with fake things, you know.
It's like the doctors do, you know. Same thing. It's like, I think all this stuff works.
Right.
It is, I like logic. I like learning about logical fallacies because I think they fit a lot of things. And I think it's really, a lot of it is just good kind of common sense thinking. But there's a logical fallacy. It's like, it's kind of like guilt by association. You can't guilt somebody by association, like, you know, because, you know, so-and-so knows so-and-so, and I know so-and-so is a bad, you know, bad person, so therefore, you know, Chris must be bad because he hangs out with, so, well, I've seen him talk to so-and-so, so, yeah, it's just guilt by association. And there's another, the kind of flip side of that logical fallacy is, like, merit by association. Like, so you can't take any one particular thing, like, say, Darwin's theory of evolution. And then, like, a lot of people try to do, they say, well, like, your laptop computer, that's because science. And everything that you enjoy, like your air conditioner, your refrigerator, all that, that's science. And if you deny global warming, you deny Darwin, you're denying cold beverage out of the refrigerator, you heretic. So basically, I mean, that's another logical fallacy. It's called because I don't know the precise terminology. It's basically merit by association. You could take two completely different things and associate them in some way or another, and thereby taking, well, since this thing is associated with science and this thing is associated with science, well, therefore it's they're all by association, therefore true. And you don't examine them on their own merits. You just, by association, you conclude that, the science behind Darwinism is the same science that causes a light bulb to light up. And that's just a logical, it doesn't follow logic to conclude that. It's a logical fallacy. It's like a... But back to what, you know, saying about doctors and all that, you know, it's like, is everything that a doctor does to you going to be detrimental to you? Not necessarily, but does that mean that, vaccines are therefore okay and good for your children? No, you can't conclude that based upon getting your pinky finger sewed back on.
Evil people do good things, you know, like people with people with bad agendas and stuff do good things, because that's kind of the only way you get in, you know. You can't just start out bad. You know, people who do pyramid schemes and stuff like that, or Ponzi schemes or whatever, they, you know what I mean, they pay some people back. Some people make good on, you know what I mean, the bad things, on bad intentions that people have. And so I think that it's a kind of the same thing about pointing out the real news or whatever, you know what I mean, the legit things that the news puts out there. You know, they're going to do that to kind of suck people in and stuff. But then the whole point is to slip in, you know what I mean, like the fake news stories and, you know what I mean, all that stuff that they do slip in.
Basically it's to build up trust, right?
Yeah. It's like a predator. They're predators, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. That are basically, the human being is their prey, so they have to use advanced psychology.
And sociology, which which I guess is the same thing or whatever. But I don't think that everything in the news is fake, but I think that because they slip in, you know, they mix it all together, I think that you just kind of have to turn it off. You don't watch it. I think it's how you get around it. You don't better. I mean, you can, obviously I watch it every once in a while to laugh at it and see how ridiculous it has gotten. But, you know, I'm not like religiously watching the news like, per my, because people watch it and then they think that they know everything that's going on, you know, and they don't look at things themselves. So I think that's kind of another reason why we have local news, and so people kind of stay out of everybody's business and stuff and think that they know what they need to know, you know.
Yeah, well, too, talking about this kind of stuff, the stock market's another good example. Like, you can put money into the stock market, and if you hit it right, you know, you may make out pretty good. You say, oh, yeah, I invested in the stock market, and I got this and this amount of money. And then, like, somebody else can have just a completely the opposite experience with it. And, I mean, is it the same institution, and is it the same group of people running it? Is it the same thing? Yeah, it's the same thing, but is it? Is it overall legit? Not if you take it in its entirety and examine it. No, it's not legit. I don't think it's legit. I don't see how anybody could see it as legit.
No, like,
it's
again,
obviously
like
rigged.
Right, like a lottery, basically. Like, obviously, like, again, we were saying, you gotta let people win sometimes, you know, and that's what keeps people going. Like in a sports game or whatever, like even the team that dominates, you know what I mean? The weak team scores a basket every now and then, you know, or gets a point every now and then, you know what I mean? Like, it's never a complete blowout. I think that you never let a game be a complete blowout, even if you were the winning team, like if you want to keep the team playing, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, my sister, for example, she is always going to the doctor and always getting, having them give her antibiotics. So it's this kind of like, it's kind of like playing the stock market or playing the lottery. It's like playing the, you know, you're just playing like this game, you know, like where, yeah, you know, I've had a good outcome. I mean, you know, I had this cough, I went down to the doctor, I got an antibiotic, it cleared it up. You don't really know that. You don't know, maybe it was placebo, or maybe that it would have went away on its own. You don't really know if this stuff is working, but, you know, let's say that it is knocking out the infection. Then you got to look at, okay, what else is this, what else bacteria, because they say, you know, these antibiotics and stuff, they kill the good bacteria that's in your gut and all this other stuff. So really what you end up doing is you're creating like a dependency cycle where you're knocking down your natural immunity by, you know, harming these bacteria, which, you know, break down and give you your nutrients, which build up your immunity and then help you fight off infection. So you just make yourself, through the use of these
antibiotics, you're creating a situation where you're going to be more dependent on getting the antibiotics. So it's like now my sister's at the point where like she's going to the doctor all the time, like regularly,
wow,
and getting antibiotics.
Oh my! See, it's a business, Chris. Just like you said, you know. Just real quick, like with what happened to my eye, they tried to get me when I first had my incident with my eye. They wanted me to get pressure drops, like a little bottle, a little 1 millimeter bottle of some kind of drop to like get the pressure down in my eye. They didn't want it to explode or whatever, and it was like $50, and I didn't get it, you know. And lo and behold, like the pressure in my eye was like totally fine all the time, and they probably thought I got the drops, but I never bought the $50-$60 pressure drops, and my eye was totally fine, so I didn't even need it, you know. And I thought that was kind of funny because I was like, what if I did get the pressure drops and then the pressure was down in my eye? I would have given the pressure drops all the glory, basically, you know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And then what's important though is that you would have then created this perception that they're helping me, and every time I go there I get a good result. It's like my sister, like, I mean, I always go to the doctor, I always get antibiotics when I get sick, and it always works out good for me. And so she just got this perception that, like, yeah, this, you know, doctors are great, and then every time I go it's always a good outcome. And then just total unawareness of the, you know, this dependency cycle that's there, and which is great if you're the doctor and you got this, you know, return repeat customer. But that's what a lot of it's based on.
How else would they exist, you know?
They couldn't exist at the level that they do now. Or like every other business that you see out there,
right?
On the city block is some kind of a medical clinic or, you know, lab or medical lab or some other bullshit, you know.
I was thinking that people going to the doctor going all the time and stuff like that is kind of like people getting oil changes for their car, like fixing their car, tuning it up and stuff. They like do that to their bodies, you know, like, oh yeah, I gotta go and clean myself out and get a checkup, get a shot, and tune my little motor up.
Yeah, I get the checkup and
in statement.
Well, then you're opening yourself up for an opportunity for them to like diagnose you with something.
I bet you they probably inevitably do that with everyone eventually. Yeah.
I think they do, yeah, for sure. If you keep going back regularly,
yeah, they'll find something for you.
Yeah, they're gonna find something and you're gonna be on some kind of regimen. You know, something as major as cancer, but it's gonna be something.
Really? I don't know. I was just going to say something that this guy that I work with, he said that his wife had cancer and she was going through all the chemo and stuff like that. Like, they just found cancer in her. She's going through all the chemo. He's like, she's got to go back in 4 months to see if it's gone. They, 4 months? Oh, yeah, you're cancer-free now. Like, I don't know. I was like, what? Like, how is that? I don't know. Like, how does she know that she had cancer? I was just wondering that, you know. Like, maybe she did, or she probably, you know, she probably did, but still.
Maybe you have... you have, because I guess they look for certain things in your blood to kind of give an indicator if you have cancer or not. Because, you know, they're not going to, there's no way they're going to go to like a tumor site, because how are they going to know where the tumor is? So I guess they base it on a blood test, and certain things they find in your blood, you know, they'll diagnose you with a cancer.
Yeah.
And it's probably something that like happens to people on a regular basis. You know, it's just like an intermittent thing that comes and goes. Or maybe you maybe you have like cancerous growth in your body kind of on a regular basis at any given time. Like, and then you happen to go to the doctor when you have that cancerous growth, which would resolve itself if you just left it alone. They diagnose you with cancer, yeah, and you get chemo and shit. And then like, oh yeah, I survived the chemo and it got rid of my cancer, but yeah, your cancer would have gone away on its own, and it just,
oh
yeah. And maybe maybe cancer is. Yeah, the pressure drops work, or wow, these pressure drops are great. Have you seen? And like you would be telling me right now about how great they were and how to try.
you just gotta try it. You know, if you ever you know happen to tear your eye out, just make sure you get those pressure drops, Chris.
Yeah, they're great. I can't get over how well they work.
I mean, you may not be able to eat for a week, but, you know, you want to save your eye, right?
Yeah, no more pressure on the eye. That's the main thing. Yeah, I got an exoskeleton now, but my eyes feel great.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you want to talk about, or I didn't want to keep you too long? I know you're doing short calls now. I've been listening to you guys.
Yeah, I try to keep them to about 3 hours. That way, too, like I'm recording on my end, and then if I let the call go on, like if I extend it out to like 4 or 5 hours, I got this big honking file and it takes forever to process it and upload it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I believe you.
Well, yeah, it's just like a lot easier to keep it at 3 hours and then, you know.
I would love to talk with Marcus sometime. I don't know if he only does Wednesday talks, or he never comes on Mondays. So like, I don't know. I had a couple questions for him, like listening to you guys' talks, but, how would I get a hold of him? You know,
let me see. Yeah, well, you're on my Skype. Send the questions to me through Skype, and I'll forward them to Marcus. And like he'll exchange information with you, I'm sure. But I would, you know, like make just you know check first. But yeah, I'm sure he'll. Exchange information with you. If you want to do that or you want to send me the question, I'll send it to him, or just, you know, just tell me you want to get in contact with Marcus and I'll give you his Skype contact.
Yeah, I want drive-through answers too for the questions I have for him.
Well, of course.
naturally. But good talking to you, Chris, and
Good. All right, yeah. Hopefully I'll do the same time next week, Mondays as usual. So yeah, cool.
Right on.
Right on.
Talk to you later, Chris.
All right, take care. Have a good night. So now it is 10:03 p.m. on September 29, 2014. Yeah, that was a good call. Had Rochelle on and Brian. And yeah, that was it. No other callers, right? Yeah. It's a good call. Just kind of going over some stuff we generally discuss, recapping and re-going over stuff that's always, well, as far as I'm concerned, is worth revisiting from time to time. It may not necessarily have anything kind of new or spectacular revelations or conspiracy candies or conspiracy jerky or conspiracy popcorn balls or anything like that necessarily. There's the closing music. Take care everybody and have a good night. Try to do it every Monday night at 8 Eastern time, but sometimes it doesn't pan out. So it's kind of like a bit kind of tentative where it's kind of, it may not happen. So, yeah, check the TalkShoe page. And so I have a link to that at hoaxbusterscall.com.
or, you know, hoaxbusterscall.blogspot.com. And then that way you can, find out if it's scheduled, because I'll schedule like an hour before, and usually that's where you find out whether there's going to be a call going on or not. And 8 o'clock on Mondays, and hope y'all could be there next week or be here or what have you. But that if I'm talking to you on the podcast, that wouldn't be the case. And by the way, if you are listening to the podcast or you found it through iTunes or whatever, and you got a minute or two to spare, if you don't mind like putting a review, that would be cool if you like the calls. Like review on iTunes, that helps out. And or on the Talk Sheet page, stuff like that. But it's always nice. And if anybody wants to do a shout out or what have you, or if you want to throw like a link my way or something interesting that kind of falls in line with the subject matter, Chris, Chris, at hoaxbusterscall.com. All right. See Robert in there. What's up, Robert? Thanks, man. Yeah. All right, everybody, take care. Have a good night. I'm out. And good night.